I can see you in the morning when you go to school. Don't forget your books, you know you gotta learn the golden rule. The teacher tells you stop your playing, get on with your work, and be like Johnny Too Good. Don't you know he never should have.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 6, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. That's 605-562-3140. And our participant code is 385-698. That's 385-698. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your question to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, that's questions@nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll answer those questions on next week's call. Please support our business partners, of which the proceeds support the NLA effort. We have Numana Foods, and we have East End Rare Coins, dealers of silver and gold. And for more information, you can click on the banners on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, now let's take a moment. We'll start off with reading out of God's Word. We're going to be looking into Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 26. My son, forget not the law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Gary, you're bleeding through. Mute up. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with all thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son to whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath formed the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Okay, that was God's Word, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. Gary, Gerard, Robert, you guys have anything particular? I'm going to open up the Q&A for Sheila or for Eric, if you have anything particular you want to bring in. Nobody else into the queue except for... Okay, Gerard, you got anything, or?
No, I think Eric's going to talk about Lydia. I'll let him do that because she needs.
Eric, it's star six. Eric, come on into the queue and star six. And Sheila, if you have anything particular, star six. Okay, I just saw Eric come in. I'm going to unmute him. And go ahead, Eric. Eric, you've been unmuted. Hello, Eric. Maybe you're muted on your other end.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I'm here. I hear my mute was on. I apologize. The phone call campaign has been doing enormous amounts of good to make the National Liberty Alliance known to the system that we're out here and that we're going to make a difference and we care about these cases. And there's a pandemic problem that's going on that we can identify, and it's absolutely clear that they're committing criminal acts and fraud. With the warrant situation, every single case I'm running across is a fraudulent warrant. Either the warrant doesn't exist, the warrant has no signature from a judge, these clerks are signing off warrants like their own little mafia racket. So I want people to keep calling. When you look on the Courtroom Observer's bulletin board, and I suggest that you call these tyrants in these jurisdictions that are arresting people and making people's lives miserable, call them. It does make a difference. It's bothersome to them. That's too bad. They're committing criminal acts. The thing they hate the most is the exposure, the light of day, shined on their darkness. And like sunshine does, it'll send the rats scurrying. So I highly recommend people keep calling. Here's the information I'd like to give an assistance for Lydia. And before I give that, I want to give a thank you list, because some people really stepped up to the plate. I know a lot of people did, but in particular, some people who put some serious hours in to Stephen Dean's case in Utah. And right now, Stephen Dean is basically still being held without bail for his political beliefs. They said so in court. We're not going to take this. We need to all bind together to not stop calling to Utah jail and checking on Steve, because they have a bad habit of making people very ill in jail, and I made it clear to the jailer, and I'd like everybody else to do the same, that Steve's going to have a blood test when he gets out, and if there's any suspicious toxins in his blood, we're going to address that. And so if everybody can keep calling the jail in Utah to check on Steve first, then I'll give you some information to help Lydia. Then I've got a couple of neat ideas for some promotions, and I'll turn it back over to you. The number for the Salt Lake Jail to keep checking up on Steve is 385-468-8400. Once again, that's 385-468-8400. Be nice, be polite, you know, be firm. Tell him Steve's going to have a blood test. He better be clean when he gets out. He better be well treated. He's being held unlawfully, and we expect that he be well treated. So always keep the light of the day shining on Steve's situation. Lydia could use some help. They're not even showing her the warrant. I mean, they're completely – it either doesn't exist or it's got no signature from a judge. And this is their Achilles heel.
Well,
this is where
we
can really –
we'd like to get a habeas corpus. I pretty much framed off all the work for that, but can't do nothing until I get all the information. Is there anybody that – I thought Lydia said that she was going to get this info. I need it.
We're almost through the checklist, John, and we'll be getting that to you, I would say, within the next couple of days. And we'll wrap it all up, and we really appreciate you, you know, helping out
just
on
so
that
you know,
paperwork.
Just so you know, just so everybody else knows, look, this is a situation where any of our members get arrested, and I think other people, I think we've got to become more proactive in dealing with habeas corpus. After all, habeas corpus is a show cause, and they need to show cause, and it's a law, and they get all frustrated with that, and we've used it in the past, and it has worked for us. So we'll use it again,
exactly,
and we'll put the
right
pressure.
Well, let me add a little credence to what you just said, John. I just got off the phone with an old friend who was, in his earlier in life, not only an airline pilot, he was a mediator for the state unified court systems of New York State. He's very knowledgeable, and he said, why don't you do a habeas corpus? The first thing he suggested. So he's right, even people – I mean, you were in the system. Look at that as a good old thing. I mean, that's your anchor. That's the first thing you want to do
The most powerful habeas corpus that could go into the court system is a habeas corpus that comes from the grand jury, and that's what we are. And, you know, we're not interfering with a particular case, but, you know, we're just investigating. And habeas corpus is an investigation. So a group of us have come together and agreed, let's go do this. So we're going to go do this. Now, if we run into problems and they don't obey, and there's a process, there's a very special process, which I think we need to get a group of people, and we're going to talk about this tonight, as a matter of fact. We're going to try to teach a group of people who will teach other people across the nation on how to really do habeas corpus, the correct way to do it, and to do it through the grand juries. You could do it from the state level, the unified, whatever your state is, common law grand jury. But we need to work together on this. We need to be very careful. We can't go haphazardly on this and just write anything. It has to be in a very specific form, in a very specific way, focusing in on jurisdiction and numerous other things. But with that said, we need to start a group of people that are willing to come together to start learning how to do this. So we'll teach them how to do this and lay out all the paperwork. We also need a group of people, and it may be the same group of people, that will go and get the information. When someone gets arrested, we need to make a phone call to one of these individuals who will then, and they'll know exactly what it is that they need, and they'll get on the phones and start gathering this information. If we can gather the information within 24 hours, we can literally have an affidavit served, habeas corpus served within 72 hours. And 72 hours later, we can have that individual out of jail, if not sooner. Because the command is you let them go now, and if not, show cause. And then there's paperwork after that must follow through in order to make them understand we're really serious. And then paperwork that they're not going to know what to do with this. Their only way out of this is just to release the individual. So that's what we need to do, and we need to get serious. This is a time of action now. But anyway, let me send it back to you. I wanted to bring this point up because you're talking about this subject, and it's very, very important that we respond because, look, none of us at NLA is getting arrested for anything that we're doing. We've been visited by the police, you know, the FBI and even the sheriff. We've talked with sheriffs and different people, but nobody's been arrested, and they're not going to arrest us because they don't know what to do with us. They can't arrest us. They have nothing to arrest us for. But they will look for other things in your life. And that's the problem we have. And that's what I think they're doing here, is they're looking for things in people's lives, for a little BS thing that they can try to make a case out of and just give you a hard time because they want to intimidate us. And we're not going to be intimidated. We're going to come back hardcore. And I want to tell you, what we're about ready to do, we're going to start talking about this tonight, we are now positioned in a way to do something very, very big here. And if we can get in motion and get everybody organized and involved, it's going to be huge, and I think we're going to make a major change in the landscape of the judicial process by what we are about to do. But again, it's up to you, the people, to get behind this, to do it. Actually, you have to do it. We have to show you what needs to be done, and you got to do it. You got to get involved. But back to you, Eric.
Yeah, I'm really.
Oh, before
no,
I do one other thing, Paul, if you're here, get into the queue. Hit star 6, Paul. And we'll bring you up after Sheila. But go ahead, Eric.
That's great that you're expanding upon these things. That's excellent that you open it up and then explain it like that. And now, so John makes a great point. Steve was not arrested for his political beliefs. He is, we believe, they've mentioned this in court, being held because they're scared of his political beliefs. But originally he was arrested because he had a felony in his past, nonviolent. He went out to a shooting range with new friends who turned out to be undercover agents. He touched a gun, their gun, even though it's a violation of the law for them to put the gun in his hand, but that's what they arrested him on. So the moral to the story is, if you have a felony in your past, don't go to the shooting range with new friends. So, but that being said, we need to work like crazy overtime to make sure the light of day stays on Steve's case. Our friend John Rowdy Bush, who's a friend of mine in Kansas, a sweet gentleman who's being completely abused by the county. Now get this, people, I think it's important people know what's going on out there. They have in Salina, Kansas, a quote, personal property tax, where the comments where those sheriff and the county attorney drive by around and look to see if you got a new tractor, maybe a little backhoe or a bobcat. In this case, it was a car crusher at a junkyard, and they levy a tax on that piece of equipment. Now, you've already purchased that. You paid the sales tax. You own it free and clear, supposedly, not in Salina, Kansas. You have to pay it. They had thousands of dollars they tried to extort from him on a car crusher that he owned free and clear, and they call it a, quote, personal property tax, as if it were your property tax for your house. That's how far it's gone into your tractor sitting in their front yard. If they see you bought something, they want to cut. So it's absolutely obscene. So I want everybody, just the fact they let him out of jail, That's not a victory. We need to keep dragging him back into court. Go put him back in jail if he doesn't pay them thousands of dollars. They're still trying to steal his property. I don't see where it's any victory. I want people to keep calling. So go to that courtroom observer's bulletin board. When you see an alert with some phone numbers, call, be professional, ask the questions. Where's your constitutional authority, Sheriff, to levy a personal property tax on somebody? Take it up with the county attorney. Call the county attorney, Mr. Montoya. Where do you get the constitutional authority to lay a tax on somebody's car crusher that they've already bought and paid the sales tax on? And they have a very difficult time answering that, and you have to keep asking that question and driving it home. They don't like that. Keep it up. As long as you're not harassing and threatening, we're good. Right? And I wanted to give my thank yous here, a quick number out to help Lydia, and a really neat idea, and then I'm off. So I want to thank Lydia and Jason Berg and Johnny B in Kansas and so many people I can't remember, Evelyn Gonzalez, and all my people who really put in the extra couple of hours to help on the Stephen Dean case, because they all deserve to have honorable mention. And that being said, if everybody could call Special Prosecutor Hillary Hassler at 212-335-9314. Hillary's number, once again, is 212-335-9314. And she really should be highly encouraged to release the warrant in the Lydia Radin case. And Lydia is one of our top members who's done absolutely angelic work for everybody, including myself and Stephen Dean, and I mean all of us. We don't have enough time to thank Lydia. Let's come to Lydia's assistance. We need to have professional calls, asking, respectfully commanding that Ms. Hillary Hassler really either admit there is no warrant or release one immediately, please. And just keep driving that home. And eventually they're going to have to either release the warrant that most likely doesn't have a signature from a judge, just like the Stephen Dean case. Sound familiar? So this is their little scam. The judges hire clerks who are well-paid gatekeepers. This is why, John, I have a little disagreement with you, John, and I'll air this out in public. Probably the first disagreement I've ever had with John Darish. John said the clerks are less culpable than the judges. The judges will be held accountable, and then if the clerks, maybe if they're back, I got news for you. The clerks are way worse. They're the ones who take the payoffs for the judges. I have firsthand information that I can't prove here in Rochester, so I won't give names. The clerk is the one who is the gatekeeper. And so now what they're doing, they give the clerk a couple of $100,000 a year to sign these fraudulent warrants because the judge knows he doesn't want to sign it. These warrants are fraudulent. In the Stephen Dean case, it was a setup. The FBI was not only committing entrapment, they were committing a felony under the same statute they were charging Steve with by putting the gun in his hand. So the judge doesn't want to get involved and put his John Hancock on a fraudulent document that he's going to go to prison for. So they give the clerk a couple hundred grand a year to do it for them. And they're going to say, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to pay you really well. And if it comes back on you, don't sweat it. We're the judge. Who's going to get you? You got the judge in your pocket. He's got the police and the vicar general. Everybody, hey, if you're all on the same page, who's going to hold the clerk to task? So anyway, we need to hold them on this fraudulent warrant thing, these signatureless don't let them tell you there's a signature. It has to be a judge's signature, not the landscaper, not Ronald McDonald, the judge, not the clerk, nobody but the judge. So, and here's the number. Oh, so I gave you the number in the Lydia, 212-335-9314, and we need to help Lydia on this because they're sitting on the warrant. Won't even let her see it for her appeals trial. They're up in front of a judge, and the court won't release the warrant. So it's getting really to the point of almost comical absurdity, and we need to shine the light.
Are you saying there's
none.
A warrant for Lydia?
No. There was a warrant.
We don't know.
They claim. Look at no. This is the old news. She was picked up and thrown into Rikers, John, and she's going after them because there was no warrant. They're not. I mean, they could be sitting on it, but they can't. They have to admit that there is none, and they're afraid to admit that there is none because they threw her in jail. She got beat up. She almost got killed. So if they say there's no warrant, guess what? They're liable for every last jot and tittle of what happened to her.
Is Lydia on the call tonight?
She said she was going to have trouble making it in tonight, but I just wanted to kind of chime in on her behalf.
She should call me, and we should discuss a habeas corpus to get that warrant. You know, not necessarily habeas corpus because she's no longer in jail, but we could do a show cause or something.
Meanwhile, John, see if you can blast out that email for her, in her behalf. I think I had one of my people send it to you. I forget who it was. I think Lydia sent it to you, and it was just an alert. Please call Hillary Hassler. Here's the number. And I'd like to have you, you know, do like you've been doing it. Really helpful to send every NLA member on in the nation that alert so we can all help each other. And these cases are really important because if we nip this in the bud, they're going to learn, you know, that the not to mess with the NLA, for lack of a better word. And I got a really neat idea I want to throw out there. Anybody can put this together. I think it would be really cool. On top of lawn signs, by the way, if anybody wants business cards for a really good price, $1,000 in gloss, National Liberty Alliance with your contact info at the bottom, beautiful with the scales of justice, blue gloss with white letters, they're beautiful. Give me a call at my number, which is 585-730-9220. I'll repeat that, 585-730-9220. And not only does my friend who owns a printing shop, a really nice one, have business cards, but we have lawn signs. I think $35 for a sign, a couple of bucks to ship it out because they don't weigh very much. And you get a beautiful vinyl lawn sign, holds up in the elements, printed on both sides, nationallibertyalliance.org. Call me. I've already got some calls on that. So we're going to have signs popping up like little weeds all over in the spring. And so here's the idea. I'd like to float in the parade for the Memorial Day parade coming up. If people want to think about trying to get together with a couple of people and have a little float, you can build them pretty easy off any kind of trailer almost that you can pull behind a pickup truck and have a little float in the parade that says National Liberty Alliance. And it's just an idea that I thought would be a really neat promotional thing. Maybe Sheila, if you're out there, you want to run with that. Just the thought I had, you know, I'm working on so many other things right now with the we need common law sheriff candidates. Anybody got enough guts to run for common law sheriff candidate? We're not running to win. We're just running to run and get the word out there. If you win, great. But if you don't, it's just as fine because guess what? Those lawn signs all over the place that say common law sheriff, the people are going to be driving along, honey, what's a common law sheriff? Geez, I don't know, honey. Do you got your Android with you? Type in common law. They're going to go right to the National Liberty Alliance. So it's, you don't underestimate the power of a lawn sign. Drop the business cards on bulletin boards and all the local businesses. And give me a call if you need assistance with that. I'll give you the number of the print shop. You can call them, mail it right to you, paper it over the phone with your credit card, just deal with them direct. I'll just forward you along with their number. And, hey, see if you can get a float in the Memorial Day parade. I think it would be a fantastic publicity maneuver, don't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's move over to Sheila. Are you about done? Okay, we'll go to Sheila. Sheila? You've been unmuted. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hi, everybody.
Did you have anything to announce?
I just want to say that we still have the 1 million signatures going on, and okay. I do want to.
Yeah, by the way, we need to talk about that a little more. You know, I've gotten some people who have sent me sheets of signatures, and there's one, two, or three signatures on one sheet with a space for 100. And that kind of defeats the purpose of us putting 100 signatures onto a sheet because we're really trying to reduce paperwork because, you know, a million signatures on 100 a sheet on one side alone is 10,000 pages. That's two boxes or 20 reams of paper. That's a lot of paper. Now, we're not going to – I've been thinking about this, and I just don't think it's feasible to be able to run you know, this stuff off in actual paper. It's just going to have to be put on a CD. So we're going to have to figure something else out. And I think what we're going to do, and people who have used whatever they use can continue to use what they got to sign off, you know, to get signatures. But I think we're going to reduce it back to 20 on a sheet since we're going to just put it onto a CD and hand it in that way. We'll keep the originals, of course, someplace, but we'll just pass it on a CD. So we'll talk about that, Sheila, and we'll get that word out as soon as we... And I'd like to try to do that this weekend, all done and all that paperwork completed, okay? But go ahead, finish off what you were saying.
And also, the CPS is on Wednesday night, the meeting, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., and it's with John Gerard, the executive administration of the division. And also, John will be getting down with the nuts and bolts. But on the other hand, there's another meeting on Wednesday with Gina the director, and it's at also at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we just want to encourage members to come out, go to those meetings. Also, we still have a media campaign meeting on Thursday, and we're trying to brainstorm to get all of these aspects of National Liberty Alliance out to the people. So we just encourage that the members please support Eric, Courtroom Observers, Media Campaign, and the CPS division or CPS, or what was that, John, that you name it because you changed it, I think.
Well, yeah, we've moved that around a few times, but right now it's pretty much, it's the lawsuit we'll have them going up against.
Ultimately,
the family court system, which includes the CPS and the APS and
juvenile
court and just a whole nine yards, so to speak. Again.
Right. So that's about it. I yield.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I see there's two Pauls coming up here, and Paul from Hawaii. You may have something you might want to say, so I'll unmute you in a minute, but let me get Paul from Long Island. Go ahead, Gerard. You want to say something first?
Do we the last number that was phone number? I think that was Eric's number, right? 585. Somebody missed it over on Shake and Wake. What do you have it? 585-730. What's the last four?
Well, for what?
For I think that's Courtroom Observer.
Eric's phone number?
Number. Yeah, 585-9220. 5220.
Eric, is that the right number for you?
9220.
Yeah, 585-730-5220. That's for
nine.
It's 9220.
Nine.
The one he's online with.
Right.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
9220. 585-730-9220. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Okay. All right. We're going to open up to Paul. Paul is a partner of ours, and he's selling gold and silver, and we're working with Paul. And so Paul wanted to come on and address the people tonight, so I'm going to open Paul up for a few minutes. Paul, this is you. You're Paul, right? 631
number.
Yes,
sir. I'm right here.
It's like a Long Island number, so it must be you. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, it's me. Good evening, everyone. This is Paul, East End Rare Coin, official vendor for NLM members, and the privilege, I might add. And I've been talking to quite a few of you over the last couple of weeks, and we've all had good experiences. What I was just choosing to comment on tonight, I'm going to try to keep it as brief as I can, is that there have been so many significant economic developments that I feel as though they're worth speaking about. Beginning with the fact that manufacturing this past quarter is down to its lowest level in 3 years. Of course, the Federal Reserve met again and is still not raising interest rates and keeping them at 0%. Mind you, that's not 0% for you or me to borrow money. That's for the banks and the financial institutions to keep speculating and making the markets artificially propped up to mask the reality of the government debt, the government printing, and how bad the economy really is. The jobs report, anticipated to be 250,000, came in at 120,000. That's extremely off. There are so many things being done to mask the present economic situation of this country. It's alarming and it's frightening. Basically, by keeping money at 0% interest, the Fed has been doing nothing but a continuous quantitative easing since 2008. And it's essentially because they don't have a choice. If they pull the legs out from under it, the financial markets and the economy will collapse, which, of course, they don't want. But we have to understand, just like a college kid with a credit card who instead of making his payments, just gets the credit line increased every time he's late, that's exactly what the government is doing. Their behavior is that of a irresponsible 20-year-old college student with a credit card. The way they're getting away with all of this reckless spending in all their budgets and bills and so forth is, of course, by circumventing the laws and circumventing the judicial system. And when they do need the judicial system, unfortunately, because they are all handpicked, they're only gaining support. The system that was initially put in place by the Constitution of the three branches of government as a means of checks and balances on each other, there are no more checks and balances. All three branches are on the same page. I was speaking earlier to John. The analogy is much like that unfortunate recent airplane crash that happened in Europe, where the pilot was locked out of the cockpit, and the insane co-pilot set the plane on autopilot so it would steer and crash itself into the ground. Well, that's basically what's going on with the government. We, the people, we are locked out of the cockpit right now. And the government has flipped that switch, and they are steering the plane, you know, into the side of the mountain to crash. It's inevitable. What we're doing is unsustainable. You know, quietly, a lot was made out of it. This is the global economy, let's not forget. The Eurozone had to do another quantitative easing themselves. So essentially, nobody has really recovered since 2008. It's all artificial. It's them propping up the markets with free money to mask the reality of the economies. The economies are not doing well. We would like to think that this has to end. It has to crash in order for it to be fixed. I don't know if a soft landing is going to be possible. The debt is just unsustainable and out of hand. If you see the price of oil turn around and go up, say goodbye to the U.S. dollar. It's only being propped up by lower oil prices right now. And it's just a matter of time before we are displaced as the petrodollar by countries that are coming together, such as China and Russia, with trying to back their currencies with 100%, you know, gold and silver. And those will be much more preferable currencies than the U.S. dollar, obviously, which is literally being printed like toilet paper right now. The commodities reports came out. There's been some developments. Some of the big banks, some of the big manipulators of silver prices and gold prices have in the past been allowed to leverage as much as 10,000 futures contracts at a time. Okay? When they trade this stuff on paper, there's no reality as to the real physical supply. They released physical supply data. The physical supply of silver in this country is the lowest it has been in over 100 years. And the mining companies are not going to take it out of the ground until it exceeds the production cost of $24 an ounce, and today it's approximately $17.50 an ounce. But what they're doing now is limiting the J.P. Morgans, the Deutsche Banks, the big manipulators. They're limiting contract trades to 1,500 at a time, which is still a lot, but it's not 10,000. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the manipulation is going to end because they're not going to be able to control the amount on paper that they need to keep the prices of the metals suppressed, which is in the government's best interest, of course, to lend credence to the dollar. But the silver supplies are so low. I don't know if most people realize, I'm a real history buff, and being in the coins my whole life, you know, they interact. The story of coinage since this country started tells the story of American history. The first silver, when we started, this country was first formed, we had no silver. We had no gold. We didn't even know how to make coins. We were using Spanish currency at the time. You know, you've heard in the old, you know, pieces of eight. What that refers to is an eight real used to be a silver dollar. And, you know, two pieces of eight, of course, was a quarter, and so on and so forth. When we started to make our own coinage in 1794, we got all of our silver to make our first silver dollars, which they did not make a lot of, all came from the Martha Washington estate. She was a very rich woman at the time, and she donated all of her silverware, which was, you know, in the pounds, you know, like 500 pounds worth or whatever. And that's what was used and melted to make our first silver dollars. We had our first bankruptcy in this country in 1791 before we started making our own coins in 1794 because we were operating solely on good faith. That's why we had to start minting our own currency. When a dollar's worth of silver was a dollar and $20 worth of gold was an ounce of gold, you know, a $20 gold piece, and so on and so forth. The great crash of 1929, they call it the Depression. We were very close to total bankruptcy. If it wasn't for another little secret, J.P. Morgan himself was called into the White House, and he structured a loan for the United States government to keep us from going totally bankrupt so they could keep printing until we recovered. Now, again, just like the printing back then, never really worked. The Depression never got better. What brought us out of the Depression, of course, unfortunately, was World War II. This recovery, this economic situation had not been fixed. It's only been perpetuated and made worse. And our debt, again, is unsustainable. I'm not sure if this is going to be a soft crash or a hard crash. None of us have a crystal ball. None of us can guess the day it's going to happen. I just want to educate the members that, you know, it's most likely the way it's going to happen is you're going to wake up and it's already happened. And the bank's going to be closed until further notice. You know, they last time they had the Global Economic Summit and so forth. Again, you know, more secret laws and so forth. Literally, when you deposit money into the bank now, you don't own it anymore. The bank owns it. If they wanted to, they could issue you stock instead of giving you back your money, okay? And that's a far cry from the days of when you had a $20 gold certificate in the year, let's say, 1910, and you could go into the bank and get an ounce of gold for it. Forget about a worthless piece of paper stock or a worthless piece of paper that's now become U.S. currency. So I just want to make it clear the supply of these old silver coins with real value are not limitless, and there's starting to be quite the clamor to buy them by the public, not just NLMA members. I deal with both. I just treat NLMA members much more favorably. I want to point out that when this silver reserve gets down to a frighteningly low and they have to start mining it, the price of silver, because it's so inexpensive now, is going to move up much, much more quickly, let's say, than the price of gold. You know, the ratios are way off. The traditional ratio of gold to silver is somewhere between 15 to 20 to 1 ounce of gold. 15, 20 ounces of gold, of silver to an ounce of gold. Right now, the ratio is at 70 to 1. And gold is not going to come down to fix that. Silver is going to have to come up to fix that. Okay? So I just thought it would be good information for everyone to absorb how badly the economy is really doing, how badly this recovery is really doing. I know the stock market has appeared to be a great ride for the last few years, but most of the people making money in the stock market are the same people that we bailed out in 2008 because we gave them free money to do it all over with again, and they're making more than ever. It's not Joe Q. Public, the average guy, making the money. Until we can get control, and ultimately it has to come again through judicial, and keeping the government from circumventing the laws in order to create more debt, a la, for instance, the way they snuck Obamacare in so it wasn't considered, you know, spending and so forth. They sneak a lot of stuff that's not spending, and it becomes big spending. It's, again, just unsustainable. So I'm just encouraging people to whatever their ability is, that you want to be buying these silver coins when nobody wants them. You don't want to be buying them when everybody wants them. The premiums will be through the roof then. You don't want to be buying them when the general public wakes up. That's when you want to have that warm, cozy feeling that, thank God, I already have mine. Okay? So I just wanted to touch on the economic outlook right now, and we all know it's not good, and we all know what they're doing, and as I said, the plane is on autopilot. We can't get the cabin door open, and until we can get a reasonable legal system back in place as a system of checks and balances, it's going to continue to run like this until it crashes. So, just on that note, I've had some quite a few dealings now with NLA members. We have on both ends had very good experiences. I've had some members here in New York that have visited me personally. I've even had a couple stay over my home for the night, and they've left with big bags of silver coins. Wonderful people that we have here. We're all on the same page, and that kind of hospitality that I'm willing to give to membership, even in my own home, is the same type of hospitality. If anybody wants to start, you know, acquiring to whatever ability they can to put this stuff away for that rainy day, that's probably going to be more than a rainy day, maybe a monsoon or a flood. You know, I'm here to help you. Please feel free. Again, on the website, my phone number's there. I purposely listed a number that goes directly to my personal cell phone, okay? So you're not dealing with anybody in my company. You're dealing with me, and that's so that I can give you the best pricing for being members, okay? And any advice you may need, and feel free to just call with questions and tap me out for education. I have no problem sharing my time and knowledge with NLA members. And again, I thank you people for the privilege of being your vendor, okay? And that's basically what I wanted to say tonight, John.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
And I appreciate everybody's time.
Okay. All right, we're going to go back now to... we'll be back to Q&A shortly. But first, we're going to go through our subject matter tonight. And tonight, we're going to be focusing in on organization. Okay, organization is the key. We cannot win back this nation unless we are organized. We've been working diligently for 2 years here to organize the nation, and we've done a pretty good job, I think. Now it's time to really get active. We got a lot of activities going on. We talk about a lot of different things. Each Monday we talk about something, and you know, you'll get a little information about what's going on over here and what's going on over there. And we're not expecting people to get involved in everything, but everyone should get involved with one thing. Find what it is that is your pet peeve, so to speak, what you would really want to get involved with, and get involved with it. We also will be doing other things. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But do find something to get involved with. So let's go through that. National Liberty Alliance, again, is proactive. We are the only liberty group with a solution to save America. You go out and go get involved with the Tea Parties or anything, they don't have a solution. And of course, all of us were there, and we've come to find a solution. And we'd like to get all the people in all these liberty groups and different liberty movements to realize what we're doing and get involved with us, too, and involve themselves in some way to get active, because only the people can save America. That's the obvious. So we do offer, as most people know, but for those who don't who may be new, we offer a free civics course. You can go right up on our website on the top and click on Civics course and just sign right up. We don't charge for anything on our website. Access into the site for all our information, and believe me, we have a lot. We're going to go through a little bit of that tonight to try to really give a rough sort of a map of our website and an idea of where we're at, what we're doing, and how we are organized. But we do ask for everybody to consider a $5 a month donation or more, if you can afford more. But $5 a month, if everybody's giving $5 a month, we can do all the things we need to do. So our donation tab is up on the top right side. So we have, of course, this Monday night conference call, and its purpose is to educate, to inform, to communicate, to organize, to empower the people at the grassroots level in a national movement of resistance against judicial and political corruption, and also to solve it. That's our goal, is to solve it. So we've created lots of different groups, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and how we're organized. We've got a class action suit going with the family court, which is, of course, the CPS, the APS, and the juvenile court, which is probably the most destructive court in America because it's destroying the very fabric of America, the family, destroying our children. And a lot of children that go through this system, when they come out on the other end and they become adults, they got so many psychological problems, so many emotional problems. And of course, that's part of their design. They're making money off of us as if we're cattle, as children, and then they make money off of us also when we're older with the APS. They take everything away from us at the end of our lives and steal it from their family and so on. So they turn the twilight years into a nightmare. So we do have a class action suit moving on that. We're going to be having a meeting this Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're not going to be having a weekly meeting per se. At least I'm not going to be having a weekly meeting per se, but there probably will be a weekly meeting per se that others will run. I'm not going to be running them, but others will run it, and I'll come on from time to time. What we're going to be, yeah.
About using the term class action, I got some scuttlebutt from that today.
Okay.
We're not really doing a class action in the true sense of a class action. Some people would say, tell John not to do a class action, because you know what that is. You sign off, and you're not able to pursue your own case or get any relief from that. You know, usually in class actions, the lawyers collect all the money, and you go home with $1.57 if you're lucky. It's not really a class action. It's just a group suit. We use that because we figured people would understand that we're filing them all together. I just wanted to make people...
Right.
I don't know,
well,
there's a name for it.
We'll have to find a better name for
the
it.
The one that Bob Schultz did with 5,000 people on it, that was not a class action. We have to figure out what the term was that he used.
I'll dig up the paperwork on that one. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
All right. So anyway, we're going to be coming up against the CPS and all those things. Gina from New Jersey is the director. You'll find her name out on the directory. And of course, Sheila's working with her, but Sheila is the director for the media campaign. And of course, we have Eric, who is with the Courtroom Observers. He's the director for that. Now, we have numerous other groups, and we've structured, tried to break down the structure across the nation so that we can start to really get some activities going and information flowing and trying to pass out responsibilities, duties, and so on to lots of people. And there are some people that have kind of become lumps on a log, and they're not moving along, and they are in the positions we're going to talk about right now, and I'm hoping they become activated. And if they don't, then we're going to have to start replacing those people. But in any event, no matter what the case is, we need lots of leaders. We have to be a people. All of us have to be leaders. And we have to know when we need to follow and when we have the ability to lead. We have to be able to realize the difference and when that is possible. So, but everybody needs to really get involved in some group and take leadership roles. If there's a position to be had and no one's filling it, take it. But let's do it. You have a duty to do in these positions, and let's get it done. But we're organized across the nation, and we're broken up in a specific order. We have 12 district coordinators. you know, across the entire United States. They deal with all 50 states. Each one of those coordinators, you know, deal with three or four states, whatever it is. We have 50 state groups. Of those 50 state groups, we have 125 state coordinators. We have 3,133 county groups. And of that, we have 1,253 county organizers. Now, the county organizers is what we really, really need to work on. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where the power is going to be once we get to the position of where we're going. And everybody pretty much, even the state coordinators and the district coordinators, they'll be involved on their county level, and they all should be. Matter of fact, I'm sure they are, but if they're not, they should be also county organizers as much as they are coordinators. Because the bottom line on the organizers is really getting ready to take positions. If not take the position yourself, to have other people within the county to take the positions, people who are like-minded, that understand and focus in on the common law and are interested in bringing justice, honor, and mercy back into our courts. But the key thing, of course, the whole focus of National Liberty Alliance is to develop a system or groups of people where we have four administrators in every single county. Some counties that are more highly populated, they, of course, will have more than four. You'll have to figure that out. Obviously, if the workload is too great, you have to bring on more people. You'll adjust. But we also have to realize that in the beginning, we're going to be hit with a very heavy workload. But that will level off, and then we'll try to figure out where we're at. Also, you know, we may want to work with other counties that are close by that are smaller, and they don't have as big a workload, and they can share their people to help in another county until we discover how many people we really need to bring into the system. All those positions, of course, are paid positions because someone right now is being paid to orientate the grand jury and the trial juries. They're giving money to the judicial process for the judges involved in the orientation on that one end, and they actually have people who take care of that, but the judge actually gives the final wording on instructions to the jury. And that's jury tampering. And on the other side, we have at least in New York, we have the prosecutors who orientate the grand jury and lead them along and instruct them. And again, that too is jury tampering. The jurists are not free; they're actually captured during the system that's set up now. We have to take that back. And the people, unconnected from the political powers that be, so to speak, have to take that structure. And we've put together a program, and again, it's four administrators in every county. We got that ultimately from the Magna Carta, that is the process of power and authority and fixing problems was set up in that kind of a procedure or with that kind of an order. But that's where we really need the people. We need about 15,000 to 20,000 people across the nation, four in each county. Some cases there may be eight in a county or six in a county or five in a county. But no matter what, minimum four, even if the workload isn't there, four in a county. One county can assist another if necessary. We also have on our website 53 forums to discuss issues. Okay, 50 of them are state forums, and the other three are the forums of the other groups. For instance, the Courtroom Observers Group and the Media Group, and then also the group that we don't want to call the Class Action Group. We'll figure a name, but for the group suit, the committees that we've set up. And we're going to start meeting this week. If you're on if you are a district coordinator, and we wasn't going to go with all this, but I decided we are. If you're a district coordinator, we got 12 of them. You need to be at this upcoming meeting. If you can't be there, then you have to get a representative within your group that's involved and knows what's going on, and send them in your place. But the 12 district coordinators and also the media campaign director, one person, courtroom observer director, one person. Again, if you can't be here, the directors can't be here, they need to send somebody in their place. We also have committees. We have what we call the Geek Squad Committee, which ultimately is people who are involved in the technical side of things and assist us with technical understanding, you know, to deal with problems. The chairman for that particular committee is Barbara. Barbara, we need you at this meeting. It's going to be tomorrow, by the way. Let me see. Is it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow. I don't remember. Robert, is this Tuesday or Wednesday, this meeting? I think it's Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday because Wednesday's for CPS. So the meeting's going to be Tuesday. If you want to know where and how to get into the meeting, call Robert up. If you haven't already been told, call Robert up and find out. We also have a proofreaders committee. The chairman for that is Don. Don, you need to be at this meeting. And if you don't know where, again, call Robert. They perfect our writing. We haven't been too involved with that, but we really got to get more. We got a lot of papers out there that have been written, and we've had some proofreading, but we really need to get it put together a little better for different errors and punctuation, spelling, or whatever the case may be, proper English, and so on. We also have a committee that's called Liberty Group Affiliation Committee, and the chairman of that is Max. And again, Max, you need to be at this meeting, but we need more people in these groups. Get involved in one of these groups, you know, and get involved in something and help us to save this nation. We have to all be out there with our sleeves rolled up and working hard. We're here to save our nation for ourselves and our posterity. We also have a research and investigation committee. Well, we don't have that yet. We're just starting to form that. We're looking for a chairman. We don't have anyone for a chairman. So anybody who knows, has some kind of a background or appreciation of researching, some experience in researching and investigating, we'd love to get someone who was maybe an ex-cop. A detective would really be great, but even a private detective. Someone for investigating. And the purpose of that, for the Research and Investigation Committee, is really we've got a lot of different issues we want to get deal with and take it into the court. But we need someone to research the information and bring it together. A lot of people out there have researched the kind of things that we want to go get involved in. So maybe as much as connecting with those people, telling them who we are, telling them what we want to do, and bring them along to use their research where they would come in and deliver the fruits of their labor, which would get into the courts. And we're going to put a lot of weight on this inside the courts. So again, we need people on that committee. We also have a sheriff's candidate committee, and actually it's more than the sheriffs. It's seeking out and supporting common law candidates, especially the sheriffs, judges, and county clerks. But anybody who wants to run under the name of common law and they're willing to take an oath with us through NLA, then we'll support them. But we want no-nonsense people that really are focused in on the law and saving America. Forget the politics. We don't want anybody dealing with politics. If you're dealing with politics, don't sign up with us with that because we want no part of that. But we are about the political process and solving the problems and bringing a common law back into the whole system and that all takers should understand and know. Nobody should run for office if they don't understand the basics of common law. Nobody. But unfortunately, nobody in office pretty much knows common law. Also, our response team committee. Now, this response team committee is a specific committee for responding if someone gets arrested or has some kind of basically arrested. We're not going to get involved directly, necessarily, at least not right now, with anybody's particular case. But if you've been arrested, okay, then we need to respond to that and get those people out. We need to do a habeas corpus. In order to do a habeas corpus, I have a 2 or 3 pages form that needs to be filled out, and I need every bit of information that I ask for in that form. And we're not going to go through that tonight, but we need all that information. So we need a team that will deploy the moment we discover that someone has been arrested. And deploying not necessarily physically, specifically going to a geographical place, but getting on their phones and start making phone calls. You have to find a contact information, a contact person who's willing to work, or usually the person who reported that this person's been arrested. But we need a contact person in the neighborhood that can do certain things. And this particular committee will instruct them on the things that they need to get done. They will also start making phone calls, gathering information, fax numbers, the judge's name, the court name, the prosecutors, and everyone involved in the case. There's just a lot of information we need. In order to write a habeas corpus, we need about 2 or 3, like I said, 2 or 3 pages of information, details, names, numbers, phone numbers, fax numbers, and so on. But we also need affidavits. We need the story. And if this response could be done in 24 hours, I mentioned this a little earlier, if they can respond in 24 hours, we can respond with the paperwork in 24 hours, and mailing it overnight would be another 24 hours. So in 72 hours, in theory, we could have papers filed in the court for the release of that individual. And they're given 72 hours to release them. Otherwise, then we go through the next process. And there's two processes, and I don't have any clue or idea on how they think they're going to be able to get away from the process. Because once the process is put forward, it can't be stopped. And they have to give account. They can't not give account. And so the fear is what will cause them to respond. Now, we've done this already, and we've gotten people out of jail already, without even having to go to phase two and three. Once we get the paperwork in and filed the habeas corpus, you know, days later, the person's out of jail. They're let loose. So it works, and it always will work, because the judge's rear end is on the line if he doesn't respond. Those are the particular committees we have. Now, if you go up to our directory, you will find the listings of all these people. We also have a listings of all 50 United State, you know, individually each state common law grand jury. So each state has a listing up there with its mailing address, and we're working on getting together all the phone numbers and fax numbers also for those groups. But there is a listing of all of the states and a physical mailing address. So we have organized. The organization is there. We've got the structure across America. We're building it up little by little. We'd like to build it up quicker. And we got a big membership. All our members need to get involved. If all our members got involved, then, wow, I can't even tell you how far and how fast we could move. So we need to really get involved. We have a welcoming committee. I don't know if I mentioned that one. Let me go back here. Yeah, our welcoming committee is Christina. Right now there's no phone number up there. I got to get this information up online. But we do have someone who's on that committee. And we need more people with the welcoming committee. And basically what they're doing is when someone new joins National Liberty Alliance, they will give them a call and welcome them to the group and try to, you know, get them involved, you know, come to the Monday night meetings, join a particular group, get involved, help save America, find out what's going on, what it is that you can do, and help build a membership, bring more people in. We also need to get a campaign going. I believe this has already been started, but we're going to be finding out on our next meeting. We're going to have our first board meeting Tuesday, tomorrow. That's why all these people need to be at this board meeting. We'll need to find out where we're at, what we're doing, and be a little more, and then we're going to report to the people of what we're doing as we go on. But the welcoming committee really needs to get involved also in calling everybody up. All of our membership, going back, reactivating people who are just lumps on a log, just pushing them along, and letting them in, reminding them about National Liberty Alliance, and some who don't really understand on how diverse we are and how many things we got going and how many committees and all the things we're doing. You know, this is why this committee needs to make these calls and get in touch with all these people. And if they can't get them by phone, they'll get them by email. But we need to make contact. So we have a lot of things going. We have about 8 or 9 papers ready to file, plus we're writing more, and we're still working on the mechanism to actually send this out. We do have enough funds now to set up the fax system. Most of the people will be receiving papers by fax. It's just an impossibility to send it to 30, 40,000 oath takers across America, because that's about how many we're sending it out to. Probably more than that, but 40,000 or so. All 94 courts, they will be mailed to. Every paper will always be mailed to them physically. We may do some faxing inside the case, but basically they'll be getting papers physically from us through the snail mail system, and for their purpose of them filing these papers, because we mean business. Once we start moving that along and then we start filing these suits, which I'd like to move very quickly on, we don't plan on spending years to try to settle a problem. We want to do it very quickly, but it's probably going to take more time to really gather and organize all the people on this lawsuit. More time doing that than the actual case will take itself. We're not going to let the system move us along. We're going to move our own case along and get it done very quickly. And once we get closer to that and get ready to file the papers and we read the papers on that we're going to file here online, then we'll start to give the strategy and a little information on why, how fast we can do it and why we think we can do it that fast. Cases like this sometimes take years, 5 years. That's because they're stuck in their system. We're not going to get stuck in their system. So it's all about really getting the word out, putting the pressure on the judges. We know the judges are extremely nervous of us. Pretty much most of them know we're here now. And they are very nervous of us, but they don't know what nervous is yet because we haven't really sent that much yet. And we haven't really done that much yet, but we have done some and we have sent some. When they see the machine that's going to start pumping the real stuff out and in a way that's just going to overwhelm them, then they're going to understand what nervousness is. Anyway, generally, just to go very quickly to our website, and by the way, the paper I'm looking at, my notes here, is available up, I should have mentioned this earlier, but it is available up on the media page, nationallibertyalliance.org on the blue bar. Go to media. You can click on media or court filing. It'll take you to the same place, same page. But you get to the court filing page, and you scroll down, and we put it up in a list of PDFs and Word. And what did I call it? Let's see. I don't remember. I'm looking out here to see what I might have called it. I don't recall what I called it, but let me look. I may still have this on my desktop. And no, I don't. I moved it. Okay, common law is the law of the court of law, court of record example, courts resist, judicial immunity, jurisprudence. National Liberty Alliance Organization. There it is. It's midway down on Word, and it's midway down on PDF. So if you don't have Word, you can open it up in PDF. I put it in both. National Liberty Alliance Organization. Okay, so just to quickly go through the site. I know we've done this once before, and what we're going to do, we've reorganized it since we've done this, I think, anyway. And it was very early on, probably a year ago. What we're going to do eventually is we're going to create probably a map, a site map. So you'll be able to click the site map and see these things unfold for you quickly in opposed to just looking at the tabs, because we have a tremendous amount of information and pages on our website. Now I'm going to go through this very, very quickly. On the Welcome tab, if you click on the Welcome tab, it opens up and takes you to our front page. Underneath the Welcome tab, you'll see the preface, our mission statement, tab number, you know, page number 2, and so on, a national group and state forums, and become a premium member. The next tab on the bar is Media tab, and that takes you to our court filing page. And again, you can download this paper and use this as a map to get around our website. That might be helpful until we get an actual map up onto the site where you'll be able to click a site map and look at it in a large visual way. Under the Media tab takes us to our court filing page. But under the Media tab is court filing, radio and TV interviews, memos to the sheriff, spontaneous order, general blog page, 1 million signatures page, and then today's issues. Subcategory under today's issues, Continental Congress 2009, health issues, and there's subs underneath all of these, by the way, well, most of them anyway, health issues, poison, secret congressional meetings, America, Freedom to Fascism, G. Edward Griffin documentaries. I think we have all of them, or very close to all of them there. Money, JFK, we probably have 20 hours on JFK at least. Survival, slavery by consent. Then we have the tab, books, essays, lectures tab. And then if you click on that tab, you get an introduction page. But underneath that tab, we have American history lectures. We have common law lectures. We have court access examples. We have law notes. Court access courses. Hobbes, Locke, Spinoza, founding documents, harmonies of the gospel. Essays, what happened to the Constitution. Articles and essays. Biographies. and autobiographies, constitutional class, law libraries, landmark Supreme Court cases, Berkeley, Hume, Newton, books, 5,000-year leap, essay, trial by jury, letters to oath takers, anti-federalist papers, and the Federalist Papers. Then we have the civics course tab, which pretty much takes you to enroll or to rejoin where you left off. We have then the service tab. Under the service tabs, that takes you to service introductions. We'll be working to update this area soon. We have follow me. Then we have under the service tab, we have follow me home, follow me phone. We have asset location and recovery, food independence, NLA t-shirts, which we never really completed set it up, but I'm going to try to work on that. Business cards, emergency communications, which we really haven't set that up yet either, but we're going to be working on that. And we have the juror's handbooks. So we'll be working on that particular tab there, the service tabs, to get these things up and running. And maybe we'll see if we can get good prices on yard signs also and get them up there and different things that maybe bumper stickers, you know, the peel-off ones, and whatever else we can get to help get the word out and to support the National Liberty Alliance. Then we have the directory tab, and that takes you, if you just click on the directory tab, it takes you right to the directory. And again, just real quick, we've already pretty much almost covered this, but just real quickly, the directory covers every single group and the people. Now, there are a few maybe missing here. We're still working on this, but there's only a couple. And we're also adding some more groups soon, hopefully. But we have the district coordinators. We have all of the what states they're responsible for and their phone numbers. So anyone could call the district coordinator. You know, a lot of people call me for different things when you're better off calling these other people because they're involved in the things and the answers that you're probably seeking anyway. So get involved with the groups. Get involved with the leaders. Become the leaders. Be the leadership. Be the people. Underneath that, we have all the committees and groups, the Courtroom Observers Group, the Media Campaign Group, the Welcoming Committee, the Geek Squad, the Proofreaders Committee, the Common Law Advisory Committee, the Liberty Group Affiliation Committee. We have the Research and Investigation Committee, the Family Court CPS Committee. We have the Sheriff Candidate and Other Candidates Committee. Underneath that, we have the state coordinators. We have all the state coordinators, and I mentioned earlier, I think we have 100 and how many did I say there? We have 125 state coordinators. We can use more state coordinators. Get involved. Definitely every state coordinator and every committee person and every director and group leader, you all should be county court organizers also. If you're not, get into your back office there, go your area where you can update your information here on National Liberty Alliance and check the box to become a county organizer. And then get involved in your county. You should be talking and meeting and knowing people locally, okay? Because that's where we're really heading. We're heading to the local, not to the top, to the bottom, to where the rubber meets the road. Yet that's where people need to get involved. Every single one of us needs to get involved in our own county because we're the people who are going to be going into the courts and making sure that these courts operate correctly under the common law and that we're the people who are going to orientate the grand jury and the trial juries to make sure that they've got all the necessary tools to be able to go in and do the job they need to do when the time calls for them. And we also are the investigative branch or group for the grand jury. When there's a problem and people call in about the problem, you're the person they're going to be calling if you take on this position as administrator. And every member should seek to look to become an administrator. We need four for every county. We need lots of help. Or look to support to help get the administrators into the office. But that's where the power is. And those are the people that will be taking the phone calls, dealing with the problems, and holding the government's feet to the fire from your perspective, whether it be a state senator or a U.S. senator within your state that you need to get a hold of and say, hey, look, what the heck is going on? I got a phone call from one of the people, and you guys seem to be breaking the law up there, and let's see how we can fix this. And so we can fix all these problems mostly on the phone, but those we can't, we go out and do an investigation on, and then we write a prescription, and then they fix it then. If they don't fix it, then we take it to the grand jury, and we tell the story to them, and they hopefully will indict, and I'm sure they will. and then they can take it into the court. Then these people are removed from office, and they're in the court, and we're going to move forward with people in their place that will obey the Constitution. Let's see where we're at. So the directory tab, as I said, we're at the state. We've got all the state coordinators. We've got them all listed here. We've got all of the county organizers. About how many did we say we had? I think it was 1,200 or something. 1,253 county organizers. We need more, but you can get a listing here. You get the first name and numbers of all these people. We have all of the intake receptionists set up. We're not taking applications yet. For getting into this lawsuit. We are setting this up. We've got, I think, about 30 people. We need about 20 more intake receptionists. So if you are somebody who can volunteer to take in information, we need people who understand the legal process. We need people who are secretarial, have a background in that. We need people at every level. We need people. We need people willing to learn, because amongst the people who know are the people who are going to learn to know. We all have to learn, okay? We have the unified state common law grand juries. We have the addresses for every one of them listed all the way down. There's 50 of them, one for each state, and we're going to be working on putting in fax numbers and phone numbers that we're working on that right now. So that's the directory tab. Then we have the political tab. And under the political tab, if you click on the political tab, it takes you to the political introduction, okay, of what our position is and what we're doing. We're looking to get statesmen. We want to get involved in the political process. Matter of fact, that's where we started originally, was with the committeemen. But this was more important to do this first. But we're involved with both the political and the judicial. But on the political side, just to get statesmen in, people who will appreciate the common law and won't get lost in the stupid politics. Under the political tab, we have information on committeemen, Robert's Rules of Order, U.S. Supreme Court daily decisions. We have U.S. Supreme Court recent decisions. We have the state election laws, how to petition, Washington's farewell speech, White House blog, U.S. Congress, U.S. Supreme Court decisions, state constitutions. Then we have the group tag. And underneath the group tag, the group tag itself takes you to join the group page, and you can join a group through there. But also, underneath that tab, we have the Courtroom Observers Group, the Media Campaign Group, and we have 50 groups, one for each state, so 50 state groups, and then we have the Class Action Lawsuit Group, which name we've got to change, and then we have the Media Campaign Files. Now, the last tab is the Jurist tab. You click on the Jurist tabs, it gives you an introduction to jurists, and then underneath that tab, we have Jurist Orientation, Why We Must Act Quickly, Questions and Answers. Some of this stuff needs to be updated, but we'll be working on that as soon as possible. State plan, jurist documents, administration, and presentment. And that pretty much is sort of an overview of our website, an overview of our organization, an overview of what we're doing, where we're heading. We have to get active in all these places, plus some, and we have to get filing. When we start filing, we are going to be filing one paper probably every 4 days. So we're going to be hitting the courts for about 6 weeks with paper after paper after paper. Every 4 days, a new paper, new paper. And every one of these papers are going to also go out and include inside this process, we're going to include all the oath takers. And they'll get a copy, and they're going to be involved, and they're going to become educated. And the whole process is set up to educate the people and to inform the people for them to understand where we're at, how we got here, and how we can get out of here. And it's real simple. All you guys got to do is just obey the law and enforce the law, especially law enforcement. We have the FBI. We have the marshals. And the most important we have is the sheriff. So those are the people particularly that need to enforce the law. And that's our biggest focus. And, once in a while, the FBI will come out because some judge will say, hey, there's some people out here, and they send them out and it's a favor. They send them out on a fishing expedition. The agent that's coming out, it's their boss that sent them out, and the boss is doing a favor for some judge, and the guy coming out, he's kind of, there's no crime here. They're looking, so they're on a fishing expedition. So they're kind of up in the air and trying to figure things out. And usually we inform them pretty well. They go their way. But look, we need to cut that off at the pass. We'll send them the papers so they don't need to get that call. We'll send their boss the paper, too, so they don't need to get that call. because they will know what we're doing. We'll inform them what we're doing. We're not doing anything illegal. We're using the process the way the process was meant to be. And so that's what we're going to do. Okay, with that, we're going to open up the lines to take questions. So if anybody has a question or a comment, let me open up the line, the Q&A. First, anybody who hasn't talked with us in a week or two, try to get into the queue first. Everyone else, try to give them a minute or two, and then you can click in yourself and get in line. So again, anybody who hasn't spoken in a few days or in a few weeks or whatever. Gerard, you want to pick up on this for a while, and maybe I'll pick up a little more. I'll listen, and maybe I'll pipe in.
Yeah, sure.
All right, go right ahead.
Let me get on my screen here.
And anybody out there, when we get the name and the state of the person who's talking, maybe someone can type in the name on the unknowns and the miscellaneous or that kind of thing. It has to be a phone. If there's no phone number, don't type a name. If it just says anonymous, because it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, John, I got to log back in. I see it crashed my HD. Hang on.
All right, well, I'll take the first call as we're waiting. All right, let's open the lines for anybody that wants to get into the queue, the star six to get into the queue for a question or comment. Jump in now. Okay, first person, Jason from New Jersey. How you doing? Go right ahead, Jason.
Hi, John. Jason from Jersey.
Yes.
Very good job, John. Everything's coming along. We're all under attack by our wonderful uncivil servants. You can call to arms. And again, I was one of those victims just before Stephen got banged. I was jumped by security officers who are subcontractors, and they're not even allowed to even go outside the building unless I was doing violence or vandalism, and I did neither. This is a taken photograph. And under the court watches, there's two citations, 1995 and 2000, that said that the people had the right to photograph inside public buildings and also public interest. John, I may have a thought for you for spotlight on the rats. It is actually outing out the people in the event. Let me see. Everyone in America, even by been mistreated and injured, to be the public servants have an opportunity to learn how they properly defend themselves in court and out in the streets. That, you know, something could be coming up with that, because again, we have to defend ourselves. The Bar Association are telling our people, our policemen, that how to disrupt us. Also, Second Amendment right is very key here. 1981, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Warren versus the District of Columbia, that the police are not constitutionally obligated to protect their citizens. Ergo, everyone needs to be well-armed against perpetrators. Another issue is, again, going with our Silverman, what's really defeating the American system, the Federal Reserve, is actually the BRICS. British, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are setting up their bank in China. And that's going to really bang the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and the Vatican. And I just want to, for the record, when I do find out, I will be running for sheriff. I ran three times in three different events here in Jersey City. Came in last, but folks, it's not the getting in last. It's just being there and showing up to the beast. Remember, a good man with good ideas can never win against the machine's deep pockets and 700 flying volunteers. Even a dead rat, blind rat, would win the race. And you've seen that happen. And just a question. I'm looking for the writ of error. John, is that on our website?
Yeah, you know, someone, I had a conversation with someone earlier last week, and Gerard, maybe you might remember this, and they were looking for some things, and I told them I'd put examples up. And I got a situation where I'm writing a writ of error right now. So I'm going to take the one that I'm writing, and it's on a good subject, so it'll be really appreciated. And so I'm going to write this writ of error up, And when I get it done, I'll cleanse it of names and stuff, and I'll place it up as an example. So I will get that up, writ of error. Let me make a note of this. Writ of error. It's on my desktop right now anyway. Writ of error. Like I said, I'm going to try to do it this week. There were some others that papers that people were looking for that I was going to give an example. Do you remember that? What that was, Gerard? I think you were in the conversation where someone was looking for some examples.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where they were, though. Hang on.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, what the what the examples were they were looking for. But anyway, while Gerard's doing that, I also saw that you dropped me a note, Jason, that you who was it? Donnie D was looking to have me on his radio program.
Yeah, I don't know what transpired. I if you get a hold of Lydia. I missed
Well, I've got some phone numbers, which I presume is Johnny D's phone number. I'll give him a call maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. He's in California, so he's a school teacher in special needs, so you have to get him after school, after 3 o'clock his time.
Okay, so 3 o'clock his time, which would probably be 6 o'clock our time. So after 6 p.m., I'll put 7 p.m. in the evening.
Right. And again, I wasn't there for the transplant, but again, it was a challenge with innuendos and other stuff. But I wasn't privy to the first 30 minutes because Donnie D went out of Shake and Wake Radio on that Friday. And another issue is also, I do want to thank Eric and Lydia and everyone else who worked with Stephen Dean's affair. We're being very effective in that case. And I'm doing research, and again, I appreciate the support that NLA is going to give for me on June, like the 25th or 26th in Newark, New Jersey's court for my simple assault. When it's really interesting, when you don't give them consent, you say no. Hey, you want to come back to the building? No, I don't want to come back to the building. I could get lost in there. And you say what I'm being charged with, and they wouldn't acknowledge it. Now I did send out I've been trying to send out papers from you. There was something about false arrest. Of course, Lydia is always promoting the treatise of arrest and false imprisonment. And there's also some other articles about the people have a right to protect themselves against false arrest also. And I sent that on to Eric because he wanted that. And I think I sent it out to you guys. If not, please tell me. Also, putting up Lydia's her paper, writ of prohibition, that's going to be pretty good because, again, her court case is going to be tomorrow. They're going to try to throw out a court case because the cheaters. I want to do that. And, on other shows, and I'm viewing the event, every state needs to have their own militia reactivated. In New Jersey, we have a New Jersey Statute 38A that actually outlines everything that we need to do. And
well, I think what we're going to do with that, I've been thinking about doing a paper on this, and I think we will do a paper on this. I think it's time to do a paper on this because the Constitution requires that the federal government support and initiate and supply the militia for the states. And I'm not sure exactly how that works, but it's in our Constitution. And so I think we need to do something on that. For right now, the control of the militia, until it's organized and things are settled, because we're in very difficult times, need, I think, to be controlled by the sheriff. It really shouldn't be, but considering today's times, and you can't call the militia group terrorist if the sheriff is organizing it and caring and mobilizing it. Remember, it is the sheriff that can call everyone in the county. Everyone over the age of 16 or whatever the age is, and he puts the call out. You got to show up in an emergency, and everybody's got to come. The sheriff doesn't really know about that, and we need to teach them about that because they're the ones that need to deal with an emergency. We don't want FEMA or any of those clowns around us. We want our sheriff, and we want our neighbors working with neighbors, fixing and dealing with the problems we have. We can do it. So,
boy, I bet anyway, your Homeland Security would call him a terrorist if he ever did that. they would declare war on him. We got a terrorist sheriff in this county.
Yeah, terrorist sheriff, an unconstitutional sheriff.
You got anything else? Because we got to move on, Jason. Anything else?
I do have one more thought. Let me see. Oh, God, I just had that. But again, everyone out there, our sheriffs, and even our marshals are being controlled by the prosecutors, whether it be the AG or the local. I mean, we have to correct that. I mean,
the judges control them. They're the personal goon squad of the judges. They're supposed to protect the judges. They think that's their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their real job is to protect the people from the judges, but they don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think you're crazy to say that.
We got to move on to our next call, unless you got it.
Well, thank you very much, John and Gerard and Eric and Oldie and Robert. Again, I'm trying to send out everything I know. Be there. And again, thank you. And God bless everyone in the movement. And God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Okay, next caller is an unknown caller from 785-412. 785-412. Maybe someone, what's your first name and your state?
John R. and Kansas.
John from Kansas. If someone can put John from Kansas down on that number, please do so. Go ahead, John. What do you got a question or a comment?
I've got both, but my biggest question is are Kansas courts is being run to the position that you are not allowed to bring a phone in that, you know, that's used for your personal calendar, for your, you know, legal research, and they restrain you from, you know, I can understand if the phone was ringing and bothering the court, but, you know, you can set it on airplane and it cannot ring.
Right, but they don't want anything there that can record the crime going on, so they don't want it in there.
I agree, but the only thing is you know, it's our right to carry that in there. It's our personal
Well, it absolutely is our right, and soon the day is coming when you will be able to. Matter of fact, the day is coming when we're going to get rid of those stupid metal detectors going into that building. Look, if those metal detectors are there probably because the judges fear for their lives, and probably rightly so because of all the damages they do, especially to families. But nevertheless, look, they haven't been there forever. Most of my life they were not there. I've been in many courts prior to those things, and you walk in and out of a courthouse. Hey, that's it, you know. Today, you got to go almost through a strip search, you know?
Yeah, but we got guys flying planes into buildings, John. Come on.
Yeah, well, we got to get them on the right buildings. There.
Somebody could come in with a plane under their coat or something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Come on.
But anyway, well, look, we got to get rid of these metal detectors. We got to get rid of all this nonsense.
Listen, court.
Look, if you go in and you record a case, okay? I think if you're recording the case, you know, it shouldn't be meant necessarily for mass consumption. But, look, if there are situations, if you have a rape case going on, you know, then they should say, hey, don't bring no cameras in here or anything like that, because it doesn't belong there, just witnesses, that's it. They got the recordings going, and once we get back to real justice in the courts, those recordings will be true and accurate and available for the people in written form or whatever. You know, you got child cases going on, maybe. Certain cases just don't belong, people have recorders in. But generally speaking, sure, they should be able to bring in their electronic, medias and be able to do whatever they want. So, and we'll fix that soon, we hope. Anything else? Did we lose our caller? We lost our caller. Did you hit that button, Gerard?
Lost him.
Yeah, we lost the caller. Someone hit that button.
It says Robert from West Virginia. Who's that? How did that get up there?
No, we're Brian from Alaska. And he didn't unmute. Well, he probably fell out. Let's go to Brian from Alaska. Well, Brian from Alaska. Let me take Brian. Brian from Alaska. Go right ahead.
Hi.
By the way, the queue is almost empty. Usually we're full, so anybody wants to get into the queue, now's a good time to get in.
I just lost a whole bunch of people out of the queue. You were saying Brian, and it was Robert from West Virginia on mine.
I saw you two down.
Brian was next.
Yeah, but he's not there no more. He just came back in.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes, we can hear you, Brian, from Alaska.
Okay, my question is on one of the gentlemen who got arrested, there were four questions that we were
question. The last question pertained to the floor. Why is the floor checkered black and white when the walls are brown? I didn't understand the significance of that question.
Yeah, I don't know myself. We'd have to ask Eric Gerard. Do you know what he's talking about? Gerard? Gerard.
I'm sorry, I was muted. What was the question? Why was the floor checkered and the walls were brown? I don't know. I just know that, you know, like one of the symbols the Masons use is the checkerboard or the chessboard. I don't know what he was talking about. Who was that? Was that Eric?
That was Eric.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's what he's talking about.
Is that what he was talking about? That it was some
kind of... Yeah, we need Eric. Eric, call me up on my line or call Gerard up on his line and get in here, and maybe you can respond to that. While we're waiting to see if Eric can get in here, anything else, Brian?
No, that's all.
Yeah, your best bet is to give a call to Eric and ask him about that, because I don't...
Yeah,
matter of fact, he's coming in on my line right now. So, Eric, you want to answer that question?
Yeah, you know, I was on the other line with somebody else, so all I heard was the white and black checkerboard floor, so I'm just going to take it from there. When I was up at the county, I'm just going to tell you exactly how I learned it, so it's really clear to people, so it's not, I'm just not winging stuff out there. So I'll explain how I learned about the white and black checkerboard floor. When I was up at the Monroe County Courthouse, which is now the unified court system of New York State, been usurped and conquered, there was a Mason up there, and he said, at our Masonic Hall, we have a white and black checkerboard floor, and it was something bizarre to the effect of, we walk around and you have to be careful you don't step on the black squares because that represents evil and the white squares represents good. It's all just absurd cultic behavior. As a Christian, it's anathema and ridiculous, but that's what they do. And when you have that cult, that people, now this is a private, you know, organization that people take an allegiance to, and they infiltrate your government, you're in big trouble. And that's what's happening in Salina, Kansas. That got all that stuff in the county attorney's office. I had a farmer. Now, this is just a poor farmer guy, owns a junkyard, sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet. It's John Rowdy Bush. I'm trying to help him through this nightmare that they're putting on him. He goes to me and says, I said, I walked in the county attorney's office, and he said, I saw this black and white checkerboard floor. And he said, I said, that was odd. And he said, because the walls are brown, and it doesn't match. And I said, yeah, right, that's the Masons. And so when you, oh, by the way, how about this one? On the front page of the Salina County paper, there was a picture run. And let me give you the quick background. A young girl, teenage girl, murdered her sister with a butcher knife, got in the car, drove to within one block of the high sheriff, Glenn Kokonowski's house, right down the street. She gets out of the car. She walks six blocks. Now, this is all borne out in the case, in the investigation. This is not me dreaming it up. She walks six blocks to the sheriff's son, Lieutenant Sean Kokonowski's house, where she gets arrested and booked. Now, that's bizarre. Figure that out, somebody, and let me know. Still haven't been able to do it myself, and I'm not really stupid, but that was weird. And so anyway, at the investigation scene, the sheriff's deputies are there making the gangland, Illuminati, Breaking Bad, satanic hand signal in uniform, arm to arm, doing their little hand sign with the upside down fingers, both mesh, and the photo gets run on the front page of the paper. There's no denying it. It's all in plain sight, which is their motto. I don't want to go too far off on this, but you people need to realize the cultic and let's just use this word, other loyalty. When you're taking a loyalty oath to the Masons, That's going to conflict with your God and country. Sorry about to tell you. I caught a sheriff at all these meetings in New York State, the high sheriffs of Wayne County, Ontario County, Monroe County, and these guys take an oath with the right hand to support the Constitution and uphold the U.S. Constitution, and then they take an oath with their other hand, the left hand, to uphold the laws of the state of New York, which are all unconstitutional and totally conflict with their other oaths. So they're caught between two oaths. Same with the Masons. They're caught, are you loyal to the group? Are you loyal to your people? And the group always trumps, and that's the problem. They have these red mafia rackets that develop out of it, and they put personal property taxes on people's car crusher at the junkyard. Can you imagine buying a piece of equipment and then having your town sheriff and the county attorney drive by and say, oh, just bought a John Deere tractor, did you, huh? $4,500 bucks? Give me 10%. That's what they're doing. and they're destroying this guy's life. So I want people to come out of the woodwork and flood the Salina, Kansas, Masonically infiltrated government with as many calls as possible. Please, thank you.
All right, thank you, Eric. Anything else, Brian, from Alaska? Brian, you done?
No, I have no further questions for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller. Why don't you take it from here, Gerard? I'll let you hit the button so we don't both hit the button.
Okay, T. Shroud. Where are you from, T. Shroud? You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for being on the show here. It's my first visit to the show, and
You gotta turn your mic down. You're like way over modulated. We can't hear a word you're saying. You just blasted out my ears. Oh, that's much better. Try again.
My name is Tammy. I'm from Connecticut.
Okay, nice to hear from you, Tammy. Go ahead.
And I have an arrest that has a negligent pedestrian, failure to comply with fingerprints, operator refusal to show, licensing registration, and the fourth charge is it is supposed to be right now it's a felony charge, assaulting a public service safety person or policeman. And actually, the charge changed because when I was in the trooper's station, a trooper is a state trooper in Connecticut. You have your policemen and you have your state troopers. And they wanted me to pay a fine and then he would release me. He had my cell phone, and I had all my phone numbers in the cell phone, so I couldn't really make a phone call out. So they immediately transported me to a prison. And what actually happened was a policeman or a trooper asked if he could assist me, if he could help me when I was off. I wasn't on the highway. I was actually in a grass area over the guardrail. And he offered to help me, and with my identification that I had on me, which is I had two legal forms of identification, he decides to start yelling, "Effin sovereignty." So he was yelling once he took my identification, and then, you know, I thought he was going to assist me.
Well, let me tell you, you were on the absolute worst end of the police that you could be, and that's out there on the road battling with the police. It's a losing battle. It's very hard, you know, as far as, you know, driving without a license and expecting them to accept that. And, you know...
No, sir, I wasn't driving. I was a passenger.
Right. Oh, you were a passenger. And so... He wanted you to identify yourself, and you refused to. Well, that's a much easier case to
beat. No, sir, you misunderstood that. When he asked me for some identification, I handed him two forms of identification, which was, you know, legal forms of identification.
Right. So when he saw your identification, he labeled you a sovereign, but because of the type of identification you gave him.
Yes, I gave him a birth certificate and a Social Security card. I was a passenger in a vehicle.
That's not a sovereign. Sovereigns don't hand a Social Security card. Or I don't even know what a sovereign is. What is a sovereign? There's no such thing. That's a name that they picked up. Listen, that's a violation. They're not supposed to be giving you a name of anything. That's a hate crime. And Right. So, actually, that's a pretty good case. If you were a passenger... and you handed him two forms of ID. Then they told you if you paid a fine when you were at the police station that they would let you go. Is that what you said?
Well, actually what happened was as soon as I got out of the vehicle, they arrested me, you know, because I was like 0.2 miles from the state trooper's barracks.
Right.
And what happened was there was a total lockup on the highway, and there was the honest to goodness truth is that I had a medical problem, a health problem, and I had gone over to the side of the road and over the guardrail, in stop dead traffic because I was hoping there would be a exit ramp up ahead, but there wasn't because we were dead stop traffic.
Right.
So what he did was he arrested me, and he never tried to get any other information from me, but he planted cell, and he tells me, get the F out here, Stroud. And I refused to get a finger because, you know, he offered to help me. And then he turned it into something else. And then he starts to, basically it was, he said it was, the charge is supposed to be, the last letter is an A, which means, because now I'm just a layman at all this terminology, so please forgive me for that. But interfering with a police officer was the original charge he gave me, and then which is an A, 53A.
Interference with government administration. I don't know. They have they got a whole slew of charges, but nevertheless, what's your question? I mean, you have to defend yourself, and if you're a layman, you're not going to be they're going to drag you through the courts. And this is a baloney charge, so I would see if you could get it reduced to something that you can afford to pay, and then what you do is you do an affidavit, collect all the information, and then what you do is you go ahead and you sue him personally because he was acting under color of law, you know what I mean? He doesn't have immunity, and you take it to a federal court and sue him.
Well, here's the worst of it. En route to the prison, a woman's prison in Connecticut, he threatens to have me
evaluated.
He said he's going to have me. He's like, no, he's going to have me medicated. Is what the trooper stated. And then when I told him I wanted a citizen's arrest against him, he started laughing at me. At the guard at the gate, he says, she wants to have with me a citizen's arrest, and they both started joking and laughing about that. And then when I went before the judge, I requested to speak with a female public defender, and they told me there was no female public defenders in the at the time because I had a medical condition that was kind of embarrassing. So when I went before the judge, the bail commissioner states that he wants to have me committed to a mental health authority to be forced medicated. And because then I had to stay, then he told, this is what the bail commissioner told the judge. He said, I'd like to have her sent to the Connecticut Valley Hospital, which is in Middletown, Connecticut, and I'd like to have her bail set at, instead of $2,500, which was at the state trooper's trooper, he says, I want to have it doubled to $50,000. And then he stated he wanted to keep me on a suicide watch, which is protocol for the prison. And he wanted to keep me on the suicide watch so that would give them the leverage that they needed to send me to the Connecticut Valley Hospital.
And what was the crime?
Negligent pedestrian, failure to comply with fingerprints, operator refusal to show license registration, which he never asked me to show the license, or he never asked me for my license. He asked me for my identification, and that's what I gave him.
Yeah, well, you're a perfect example on how out of line these people are and how far the system. Is this the first interaction you're having with the law and the system and the courts? Is this the first time that you're starting to see this, or have you been in the courts before?
Okay, I'm a good citizen. I'm a good Samaritan. I'm 52 years old. I've always been an excellent citizen. What happened was though about 13 years ago, my husband divorced me, and I live in the state of Tennessee, and I'm from Connecticut. I live in the state of Tennessee, which I raised my children. And ever since, my husband was from the South, I'm from the North, and I'm a Christian from the South. I love the South. However, I was starting to get treated differently once I was going through the court system. As a matter of fact, I came back home to Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, my hometown, where I was actually born. And when they asked me for I was 45 when I first came back to Connecticut. I got pulled over by a policeman. He asked me for my ID. I gave it to him. He pulled me out of my vehicle. My identification was from Tennessee. And I've been walking for 7 years in the state of Connecticut trying to get my life back. And what happened to me 7 years ago, I have a Tammy Stroud versus the state of Connecticut right now going on, and then this happens to me. Because they pulled me out of my vehicle, and somebody did a habeas corpus on me 7 years ago, and they did it. It was taken to the magistrate in New London, Connecticut, and no one knows where it is. Because a person off the street who I never met, a neighbor, a good Samaritan, who never knew me, paid his corpus in for me, and I was held for 6 months. I had a car that was paid off in full, and they
robbed me of
my car.
You mean a habeas corpus to get you out of jail?
Why? No, this is the procedure. They put people in these places on the dime of the American people. In other words, when I got released 7 years ago, it was an infraction of an infraction that I didn't have to pay anything for.
Yeah, but how long were you in jail? You were in jail for how long?
Okay, I was only in jail for 2 weeks because when I wrote it down on the... They give you a piece of paper when you first get arrested, and I wrote down on there that they used brutality on me. No, this is 7 years ago. That they used brutality on me on this piece of paper because I didn't have no voice. They never let me, you know, they kept me somewhere locked up, and they did force medicate me 7 years ago, and I'm going after them for that. But I'm doing it alone, per se, because that's how corrupt my own home state is. I believe they did it to me because I had an out-of-state license at the time, and it's just...
All right, well, what I would suggest is this. If you're going to do something going into the courts on your own, you need to get educated. And, you know, we have a civics course, which is where you should begin your education, because in that civics course, and it's free, you know, just go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on civics course, and then just sign up. Now, that's a free course.
To be honest with you, I'd like representation. When this happened to me, I wrote a letter to the Connecticut Justice Department.
Well, the only thing you're going to be able to do,
responded.
Here's your problem, though. See, if you hire a lawyer, you're not going to be able to afford the lawyer anyway. And, you know, maybe you can, but I'll tell you what, they're astronomical in their costs, and they'll drag this thing as long as they can. And the end result is you're not going to win the case because, really, the lawyer's working with the other side. The only other way you can deal with this problem is, you could try to deal with it that way, but really, you make an affidavit because a right of due process was violated when they put you in prison. And so you can take that, do an affidavit, and go to the grand jury and tell your story to the grand jury. If the grand jury decides to indict, then they'll run your case for you. And that's when we get into the courts. We're still a little time away from that. Hopefully it's soon, but that's coming up. But once that happens... Then restitution will be part of what the jury needs to discuss because you have to be restored.
Okay, now, could I also do this? Okay, this is what a special public defender offered me with the four charges I just explained. She said what they would do is nolly three of the charges, take the felony down to interfering with the police officer. They would nolly that one, and they want me to pay a $50 infraction fee for the negligent pedestrian. That's what the special public defender wants me to do.
Do it. Do it, okay. And then sue them.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do then.
Because if you fight them now, they're going to try to put you in jail for years or months or something. You know, they don't like when you buck up against them, and especially if you don't know what to do and you don't know how to beat them, they're going to put you in jail. But, you know, I always tell people, if you don't know what to do, and you got to figure out where you're going to make your war anyway. You know, I only push so hard in traffic court, and then I just give in and I pay the stupid fine and I move on. But I've got a list of, as a matter of fact, I may even file that soon. I got a list of judges and different people I plan on going after that violated my rights, and I told them that they violated my rights. They didn't care. They pushed forward anyway. Now, even though I agreed so that I wouldn't get a bigger sentence or a bigger problem or anything of that nature, because once you push too hard, you got to get ready to fight. And I don't have the time to really fight them in that way. I'd rather take them into a court where I control and sue them for violating my due process right, Fifth Amendment. And that's what you need to think about doing.
I certainly appreciate that. I do want to mention that the I was concerned because of the nollies. This is what I feel that they're doing to people. Once they nolly you, you're in the police. They could put you in for this and then take you back in for these other charges within a year. In other words, they can combine these charges with, so let's say, for instance, they targeted you because you have this, because it's nollied. That's what's going on in Connecticut. That's what I've observed. And here's what the actual police report says once I was able to get a copy of it. The clerks of the office, they didn't want to give me any records and kept telling me to go see your public defender, and because they got this, they had the fake suicidal watch on me, so they treated me as though I was mentally ill. And here's what I tried to get recently, the case history, which shows each time I appear, the public defender said she wanted to get a motion to continue it, and she would never give me any document that stated that she was having it continued so that I would have proof. So I had to go in on that court date anyway because she wouldn't give me any proof. She's a very abrupt person, and it's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, well, they don't care about you. Look, they're going to sell you down the pike anyway on the bottom line. But we got to move on. We got other people. But I would like to say that what you need to do is educate yourself. Even if you're not going to represent yourself, you need to educate yourself. One of the problems we have is we're not educated, and that's why these people have gotten to where they got to. Because it never would have gotten this far if people understood their rights and people applied them and pressured these people back and said, you haven't got the authority to do that. If we did that from day one, they never would have pushed this far. But now they're going to push even further. So we need to know our rights. We need to have an understanding of this process. So I suggest you get educated.
Okay, I will do that. But I just wanted to share with you, the first indicator, which was very frightening to me, was when he said, effing sovereignty, and he yelled it out. And then when I looked at the police report, it has things like the Patriot Act, which he said I was discussing the Patriot Act, which I never did. In other words, he's trying to create, because I failure to comply with the fingerprints, which is not it's a violation, but it's not a crime. And I didn't do it because I didn't commit a crime. I said I needed help.
Well, look at you. You're absolutely right. There was no reason. Look, every time they pick someone up, they take their fingerprints, and even for just these little infractions that are just a summons, they have no right to take your fingerprint. I mean, soon they'll be taking your DNA. They're probably already doing that already.
Yes, sir. You would not believe what happened when I was in the prison. This is the truth. They tried to get me to sign a document that had nothing on it. In other words, they were trying to force me. They had their hands covered over a piece of paper while I was in this prison, and they wanted me to sign a document, which I told them, because I'm over 50, I'm an adult, and I know that if I put my name on something, I want to be able to see it, and I want to be able to read it. And I also have other information that I'm trying to do it in a legal manner to get the footage of the prison video, because I caught them doing things that were against my rights, and not only that, I want when I got the transcripts from my first appearance before the judge, all the information about the bail commissioner was never in the transcripts, and they have it all twisted. And I wanted to get the court, the person who might be able to assist me with that, to get the actual voice recording of my first appearance before the judge, because it's falsified, and the person who was the person who actually took it, her name is all on that document. In other words, it's not just one person. They're covering up for the commissioner because he overstepped his boundaries. And
they all do this, and every person you're going to engage in the system is going to violate you, and it is the way it is. They're trained to do it that way. Literally, they are trained to do it that way. Nothing's going to stop them but the people. Of course, that's what the purpose of what we're doing here is, to reestablish law and order back in our courts and then in our political realm. So, join forces with us, get involved, and get educated. That's the best I can tell you. But with that, we've got to move on. We normally don't talk about court cases in specifics, but in any event, we do have to move on. But let me encourage you to get educated and really understand what exactly they're doing by understanding your rights and becoming educated. So you can do that for free right on National Liberty Alliance, by the way. We offer all kinds of courses, but go ahead. Final word, because we got to move on.
I thank you all, and I would look forward to being a part of joining some of the different opportunities that I might be able to contribute to.
Yeah, connect with the people in your neighborhood. We got a lot of members in Connecticut. Connect with the people, get involved, and do what we got to do. Appreciate the call, Tammy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Gerard, I'm going to hit the... Well, go ahead. You take the button. You get the call. Hit the next button. I'm going to hit my mute for a while.
Okay, Florida, Sarah.
Hey, everybody. To add on to something for that woman from Connecticut is, if I were in her place, I would be writing an affidavit of truth, correct whatever needs to be corrected in the police report, the hearing that she had, whatever she wants to get in as detailed as possible, and then record it with the clerk of the county, because it's the clerk of the county that actually gives each case to the judges, and she's like above the judges, not at the clerk counter. So once she's filed it there and had it notarized by the clerk of the county, then she can ask for the clerk to send it to the judge as evidence, because then it's now no longer hearsay, plus it's an affidavit and it's been notarized by the clerk of the county. So that's very important for anybody that's dealing with falsehoods like that. It becomes admissible evidence at that point. And then, I don't know if she sounds like she's new, but we have the courtroom observers. So she might want to bring in Eric and their group with cameras and the whole thing to go the next step. Now, what I wanted to discuss when I went on is John and somebody else was talking about the sheriffs and the duty of the sheriffs and to put the militia under the sheriff's direction. And I just want to read quickly someone's statement in regards to why we have a problem with the sheriffs, and probably the marshals is the same reason. Is they say, in an unincorporated area, a city or town that is not a municipal corporation, your law enforcement agency is the county sheriff. This is why the county sheriff is of such vital importance to any of the freedoms we still do enjoy. The only truly lawful representative elected and approved by people of common law. Many elected sheriffs across the country, though, have sold out their people by assigning away that lawful right in lieu of federal grants and United Nations treaties. So what I suggest as a suggestion, and it's something to work towards, we have all these oath keepers. We have a lot of people within NLA. Maybe we should be looking at replacing our county sheriffs at election time with a constitutional sheriff so that we can pretty much guarantee if they're upholding as a constitutional sheriff, they will hold the militia in the proper light and the proper use as well. So this is something I'm thinking in my county. When the sheriff comes up for election, I would be contacting very soon some of the oath keepers and see if there's anybody willing to run as a constitutional sheriff in that county. And, you know, I strongly suggest this is something that those that have...
Well, I'd like to pipe in real quick on that, Sarah, because I think you got a great idea there. You know, we are promoting common law grand juries, as I'm sure you're aware right now. We're putting together a committee for that. It's a national committee. But, you know, that's a great idea. We all have oath keepers in our neighborhoods, in our areas, within our counties that belong to oath keepers. We should reach out and start pushing them to run for sheriff. Bring them into the NLA. We'll support and help them run for sheriff. They're the solution to this problem. You're right.
We have like three people running for common law sheriff, including the fellow that we just arrested.
Right.
Yeah, but we have a source we haven't even begun to tap. And I think the time is now. We need to start tapping really hard, because if we seriously want to clean up our counties, we need constitutional sheriffs and marshals that are going to uphold their oath and know how to use militias for the good of the people. We have those three brave men, you know, that have, but now let's do, you know, a tsunami of constitutional sheriffs.
They should call themselves common law sheriffs, because they all think they're constitutional and they don't even know the Constitution. You know,
yes, I agree.
It would be very easy to run as a common law sheriff and get up there and say, look, if there's no injured party, there's no crime, and I'm not going to enforce it. I mean, you think maybe he would get some votes? There's been so many people hurt. He could just run on the hurt people coming out to vote for him. You know what I mean? I can't imagine a common law sheriff that goes out and talks about common law principles not getting elected. Maybe in some of these real progressive counties, you know, they, oh, it's terrible. You know, they think that it's the wild, wild west if you do common law. But it's what we need, and that's what they should campaign under, because it's almost a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Now, just for people's knowledge, I have had a few people on the internet interfacing in regards to, you know, police action or sheriff action, whatever's in the news. And anytime people start saying that the police are correct 100% of the time, I start posting sheriff by what authority PDF. And it shuts them up, like, immediately. They don't reply, they don't know what to say, and they back off. And I think that more people should be sharing that everywhere, because it's a very well-written document with very good source points that every American should have at their fingertips. So I think that everybody that is anywhere, in their car, whatever, you should have 10 copies of that to hand along with your ID or whatever whenever you're stopped.
Right.
Because that is something that they take a long gulp. They don't even argue. They don't even counter it, because it's so well written. So I think that more people should be printing it off and having it in their pockets ready to hand out anytime they're dealing with any of them.
Well, I agree. That's a good idea. And that little booklet we have is good, too. the jurors booklet, you know. So anyway, I think that's a good idea, and I mean we say it every week, and so hopefully people are listening and they'll put it into action. Anything else, Sarah?
That's it. I just wanted to bring up about the sheriffs, because if we can get common law constitutional sheriffs, we're going to see a lot of things snap into place very quickly.
That's right. That's right. That's the catalyst right there. Okay, thank you, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Hi, Godspeed.
Yep. Next caller, unknown, 7036, you're unmuted.
Yes, this is John R. I was on there earlier, and then also Eric out of New York has called in. This is John R. out of Kansas. And everything he said about the all the Shriners, not Shriners, but they're the same thing, is true. This one attorney does have the checkerboard floor and brown walls in his office. It's running rampant around here in this county. In fact, we've probably got the biggest, and if you don't believe me, Johnny B. has seen it, the biggest, it starts with an M, I forgot the names of them, you know, the ones that's got the checkerboard floors and that.
Right.
And like I said, darn, I can't think of the name of it. Now, I waited on here so long and I got my mind on other things. But, like I said, and as the other caller was talking about the way the court system is, this is going all over. I've had this same problem happen to me myself. I think what they're trying to do is to get the people in there to these mental institutions to get to test them and to understand their psyche, to find out if they're going to be able to reprogram us people, kind of on the Agenda 21 stuff, and to make people, to move people in the right direction. If, you know, if they're going to be the slaves under these people, or, you know, if you're not going to bow down to these people, then they're going to try and find another place to get rid of us. And like I said, you know, it's all done to an algorithm to try and understand, you know, which category do we put these people in. You know, it's kind of like Russia done with people in when they was took over. You know, if you was a very low IQ, well, you got stuck digging a ditch. If you was higher IQ, then they put you overcharging that person to dig this ditch, and so on and so forth. And I hope for God's sake and all of our sakes that we pull together and stop this before we become a communist country.
Well, we already are socialized. I hate to say that, but we are. You know, they basically took communism out of Russia and brought it here. I think they're freer in Russia than we are right now. They certainly have a better business climate over there than we do. You know, we're actually fascism, because you have corporations running the government here, and that's what we've allowed to happen. And we only have a short time to take it back, and we're doing the right thing, because this is the way you do it. You do it with the people, you do it in force, you do it with the pen, and you do it in the courts, you know. And you know, hopefully we don't have to use the Second Amendment, because that's going to be terrible, and we'll never get back to where we came from if that happens, I don't believe, anyway. So, although I do believe the fact that there are so many guns and bullets out there is the only reason we're still here talking, because I don't think they've been able to disarm us, and they're death afraid of that type of war. They know it'll be a guerrilla war. They know they won't be able to even go pee behind a tree without a bullet finding them someplace. So the Second Amendment has been a big, big, big deterrent to give us time to do our job now. So let's just pray to God that we have enough time to tip the scale in our favor. You know, once this is a teeter-totter, and once it tips our way, everything's going to slide our way. It's going to go fast. A lot of people are discouraged. They don't see the movement. But if you go out there and look at the undercurrent, there's a big, big undercurrent. Matter of fact, they're starting to investigate themselves now. There's investigations going on in the court systems all over the place. You have federal prosecutors shaking things up. Big article in the newspaper over here in Westchester County about all the money that they're spending on lawyers for the children, you know what I mean, and how they're unaccountable and they're spending money, and it's a large amount of money going to a small group of people with no public oversight. We had another woman that was just assigned to be a private attorney general with a special federal prosecutor that's not connected to the federal government. You see, they have provisions for the people to come in, and they have the authority to investigate. Now, this woman has access to the federal grand jury, and she will be able to present the case to the grand jury to see if they will indict. And the guy that gave her that status is a special prosecutor who was put in there by the federal government. I don't know how he got in there or what the procedure was, but he has no conflict of interest in as far as coming from the, you know, out of the government himself. And what she is she's like a, what do you want to call it? She's appointed by him, but she presents the case. She's the private attorney general, and he's a federal attorney or district attorney, but he's private. He's from the people. These are encouraging signs that this is happening. Now, look, you always know when the people get fed up and push back. For years they've been backing off and then moving ahead. You know, they do two steps forward, one step back. However, I don't think they have time to do that anymore. You know, they would have liked to have us disarmed before now. The economy is going to crash because they've been so greedy and they pushed it out so far, and they don't really have control. Once it starts to go and they get these cascading cross defaults, even all of Carnegie and Rockefellers and everybody's money can't stop it. And they know that's going to happen. So they're trying to get us locked down before that happens. So we'll see. It's going to be very exciting and scary, and you know, and it might just be, you know, amazing when it does happen, because I think it's going to happen fast. So anyway, anything else?
Oh, yeah. Let me explain something. The white checkered board, Nat, I mean the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we have a Mason building that takes up a half block of a city block, six-story tall building on that. And like I said, it's very dominant here in Saline County, Kansas.
Well, you know, we got all kinds of people in all kinds of places. You know, this is Mason night. It was the Vatican night the other night. I mean, we got all kinds of factions with their finger in the government here. And, you know, I just like to call up all the Illuminati, you know, the New World Order. And look, they're not going to win because I read the book and they lose. I know they lose in the end. So that's my confidence, you know.
Yep. I appreciate you for letting me call in. And like I said, let's pray that we can keep making a difference on this.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Robert from West Virginia. See, I think you got thrown out last time by accident. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, my name is Robert Thomas. I'm from West Virginia. I've been on this about 15 years. And like most everybody, I, you know, thought the judge was a seeker of the facts. I thought that the court system was to find the truth and that it was just. But there's a lot of things that are hidden just right in plain sight, and we're taught by them from the time that we're a small child, and our parents even teach us. And so I'm not sure that I love the optimism, okay? But the bottom line is they have each other's back, okay? And what has happened is, well, basically we have been usurped by, how do you say it, by a corporation, in other words, our government, it's not a government like an original organic government that it was supposed
right,
to be.
Right, it's a government inside of a government. It's been corporatized. We understand where they're operating from and how they got there. And my experience, every single day we find out another wrinkle to this mess. And right. what we understand now is, look, they've been here 1789 and before. Their fingers have been in this stuff since the beginning. And it's a repeating thing. It's just never been this complete and this wide. Just look, it's worldwide now. However, you know, people are waking up, and you know, when they lose it, they're going to lose it. And that's, you know, it's like Salente say, when people have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And that's where their problem is. You know, they like to keep us like cattle, but they're not going to be, if people can't get fed and they can't get their welfare checks and they can't get this and that, then they're not going to put up with it anymore. Of course, that's part of the plan too, that you have a faction there that wants to bring all this down and kill everybody and maybe have 500 million people left to wait on them.
Right.
I think that's a bullshit story. That ain't never going to happen. It's never going to happen. They won't be safe. That's a pipe dream. They're crazy. They're insane. I don't care how much they have us dumbed down and brainwashed, and they do. Look, you got to turn your television off because it's a programming machine. If you listen to that crap and you listen to the news and you listen to their psyops, you know, a lot of the reason that they're successful is because they program us and we believe that we're going to be defeated. If you believe you're going to be defeated, guess what? You're going to be defeated. Guaranteed. Now, we've been dealing in the courts for a lot of years, and I'll tell you one thing I found out, with all due respect, is that they're sloppy, and they're dumb. They had to hire us dumbed-down people. This is a self-policing system, and what we have here is we got a system that is educating a million people right now. I guarantee you there's at least a million, 2 million, 3 million people in America that have come awake, that are in the court systems, that are writing letters, that are fighting Common Core, fighting this, fighting that. It's a virus. You know what happens when you cut yourself and you get a little hole and the virus goes in and it starts replicating? That's what's going on. If you look at the papers that we get from attorneys and stuff, they look like a third grader wrote them. They are not intelligent. They're lazy. They're fat. They've been sucking off the system, and they're not ready. They're not ready for the people who are fighting for their lives, their liberty, their children, and their prosperity. Believe me. That you think they have each other's backs. They have each other's backs until the shit hits the fan, and then what they do is they throw each other under the bus. And I'm watching it happen here in New York. So they're not going to win. And look, they can't trust each other. They may tell you that they do, but that's as long as they're standing there with their guns and everybody's all together and they have a common cause. That's not going to happen. They're going to be divided and conquered. I really believe it. I don't believe that they're going to be able to hold it together much longer. They're holding it together with a thread right now because people are learning. People are learning about all this stuff that was supposed to be secret. It even says in the Bible, it says, the hidden things will no longer be hidden. I've learned so much stuff this year. I'm just totally blown away by everything that I've learned that they've been doing and they've been hiding from the people for years and years. The movie The Matrix with the pipe in the back of the people's head and everybody sitting in a ball of fluid, and they're piping thoughts into your head. That's us. That was a good movie because it really does depict where we are. Until you stand up and turn the machine off, and I believe that process is going to be quick though. And especially look at if the economy goes down, we've been preaching get your food, get self sufficient, blah blah blah. It's going to be good for us. Yeah, people are going to die. Yeah, but we're going to get tougher. You know what I mean? We're going to become self-sufficient and self-reliant, and we're going to learn how to depend on each other more. We're going to become more like humans instead of cattle. We're cattle right now. We're sheeple. You know, and yeah, we're probably going to lose a lot of people. You know, I don't know that it's going to go away completely peaceful. I don't know that. Look, what's it take? If the grid goes down for 3 months, you're going to lose many millions of people in 3 months. And anybody who's not dead, guess what? They're the survivors. They'll know exactly who they have to fight. They're going to have to fight the survivors is who they're going to have to fight. And I don't believe it's going to go well for them. I really don't. I think there's going to be some divine intervention. I think they're going to be underground in their spaceships, and the earthquakes are going to shake and bake them. They're going to be the ones going, dear God, let the mountains fall on us and kill us. Stop slow cooking us. That's what I think. But anyway, I don't want to get off on a roll.
Just our words, the very words we use. For instance, the word America, in the English language, okay, every word that starts with a single-syllable vowel, it's a negative condition of the word. It means no. Then the MCRI is Latin for mercy. CA is Latin for sheep. So the very word America means no mercy for the sheep. Or justice. J-U, okay, that means no law. And you'll go, we walk into a courthouse sometimes, you'll see their seal. And they'll have the word justice there, but it's separated with a little period. And the word J-U is there, or the two letters. And then S is speak, T is title, and C is judge. So the word justice means title of the judge speaks no law. And so we go in there and we demand justice, okay? But what's happened, though, you have to look in history at what happened to us. What they are is an imposter. And so you can't really get any satisfaction from an imposter. They're not there with a lawful title. And that's the good thing that I think the one thing that, you know, that we the people have is that we have a right to this Republican form of government. It's not a democracy. It's a Republican form of government. And, you know, where they, okay, let me give you an example. Under
22
their own
minutes.
Law, okay, Federal Reserve System, for every single note that the Federal Reserve has printed, that's a $25 million fine because it's fraud. Okay, so how do you get one inner? What I see being the solution is they'll eat each other up like dog eat dog to get rich, to get the money, because they're bankers, they're merchants. And Uniform Commercial Code, that is the law in those courtrooms. When you walk into there, you're walking into a foreign vessel in dry dock. If you don't have a British accredited a lawyer, what that bar is British accreditation registry. So it's all Britain. So we're basically colonized by Britain. It's Britain rule, which is Vatican rule. And anytime you walk into the courtroom, you'll notice it's all a facade, okay? When Lincoln gave Executive Order Number 1, he put us under martial law. He did General Provision 100. What that did was that said, hey, the people can never feel this. Everything has to go on just like it was. And that's how they come in with this imposter court. It's not a real court. It's an international court of commerce. And so I think the best thing that can happen is for each individual person to realize, you know, that they have a responsibility to themselves to do the right thing. And if you're a government employee, then you have to realize, well, you know, I'm the gears. When I go in and I do my job, I am the gears that is keeping this system run amok going. And so we just need to set a day and say, look, this is the day. If you show up for work, then you are the destroyers of the people by choice. You're choosing to do that, and you're the destroyers of the people.
Well, that's why we're trying to educate, because look, a lot of these people are useful idiots. They don't understand the whole thing. I used to think like you did, that the guys on the top were in for justice. Now what I've discovered is the guys on the top absolutely know what's going on. They're feathering their own beds, and they're culpable. And the other people, the reason we're noticing in every court, in every district, every oath taker in this country, we are noticing them. They have no excuse when we do come in. You see, you have to give notice under honor and under law. You have to give a proper notice, and that's what National Liberty Alliance is doing. We're giving them proper notice. When we finally do come in, they have no excuse. But anyway, we got a lot of people. I agree with a lot that you're saying. I think the only thing we disagree on maybe is, and I don't even know that we really disagree, to be honest with you, is how it's going to take place. And I do believe it's going to take place. And I think it's out of our hands as far as that goes. I think you're right. They're going to eat themselves up.
And to bring a common law jury back in, the goals that I've seen that you guys had, I was given a phone call. Well, my friend Philip showed me your guys' website, and so I signed up. I agree with everything that I've seen so far. And I got a call from a girl today. Her name was Cheryl, and she gave me this phone number. Christine Hassel.
Right.
So I'm glad I called this up. And you've got my support, and anything that I can, I will do what I can.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move out and try to get some of these other people.
Make sure you get out to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on the call, the weekly call information there, and you get all the information and, continue coming to these meetings and get involved in the committees and so on. Whatever you want to do, just get active.
We need the help of all the educated people. That's important. Because that's what we're doing. We're collecting up. We're collecting everybody up. So, we make a spear point here. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a blessed evening, and I'm still listening in.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rob. Yeah. Okay. Now we have Patricia from Nevada. Go ahead, Patricia. You're unmuted.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Such a pleasure to be with you all. I do have a question and a couple of comments.
Okay.
Revelation has another meaning. It's apocalypsis, and it also is the unveiling. And it's the unveiling of the truth of the deceit and corruption that we have been under. And it definitely is coming out, and it's very exciting what is taking place and how National Liberty Alliance is on the cutting edge of helping to bring that about. And we truly do have divine support in this endeavor, and that these challenges that people go through are obviously an opportunity for growth. And I did have a question. You mentioned the writ of error earlier. And when a judge has put out an order to dismiss my claim, a writ of error is in order. Is it correct? Isn't that correct?
It is correct if you're running a court of record.
You got to make sure you open the common law court of record.
I did.
When you do the writ of error, you also have to overrule his decision. Remember, he's not a decider in a courtroom of court of record.
Oh, I know.
And therefore, until the jury comes in, you're the person who has to keep that court clean and on common law. So it's your duty to do that.
I've already done two writs of error, but this is an order dismissing my claim. So I there are some good points in it which I need to address as well. Correct, specifically.
I'm sorry. In writing the writ of error.
There
are points that need to be made. There's a framework, and like I said, I'm going to be writing. I have some, but I'm going to be writing one, and I think you know every day you learn more. So my older stuff, the newest stuff becomes better than the older stuff, and so that's what we have to work with. So anyway, I'm going to be doing one, and once we get it together, we'll post it, and hopefully
I've used a couple of your previous ones as templates to do my earlier writs of error. Essentially, what I've done is barred the attorneys from the court. Because they've not shown any verification that they have a power of attorney to represent anyone.
How did that go over with them?
That's part of my documentation reference writs of error. And the other thing is I delayed doing my summons until I finished with some more of my discovery. And they can't dismiss the claim when the summons haven't been officially issued. I have a different way of going about things.
Bear in mind, on the other side, they have no affidavit, so they have no case. And a lawyer's affidavit on the behalf of anybody is irrelevant.
Yes. That's correct, and I've put that in too. The other thing I've done is put my affidavits and into the public recorder's office reference rebutting what they put in, and I'm bringing those in as recorder certified copies for evidence. And is it not true that our common law court of record is a foreign court to their corporate administrative de facto one?
A foreign court? I
yeah, remember their court is the foreign court, obviously. But their court is a de facto court. It has
right.
really no authority. It has no
right.
reason or authority to be.
Right.
And the only reason it exists is because people believe that it's the right court. If the people
right.
were all to wake up tomorrow and in one accord say, no, you're not the right court, they will go away overnight, literally.
Well, I also did a constructive notice and challenge to authority to the attorney.
By the way, therein is the proof of reality is the way one perceives it. I'm sorry, I had to get that one in there. So.
That's good.
The proof.
Thank you.
Reality is the
that's
way one perceives
true.
It.
Okay. So the idea, is it not true that we could have, because I know that notaries in the initial law and authorities, you know, that I put in, that notaries are essentially equivalent to magistrates and commissioners of deeds. And so if we were to have a tribunal of notaries.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. You don't want a tribunal of notaries. You want a tribunal
okay.
of the people, which is called the jury. But, or
okay.
the grand jury. The grand jury. Look, we're going into the courts as the jury right now. All our papers are written from the perspective of the jury. The grand jury in a court of record. Court is open, and the judge has nothing to say. So you have to understand how the process works. Now, if you go in and look at common law and study it, you'll find places where they did courts without judges at all. The sheriff ran the whole game or some other officer. Matter of fact, the only officer of the court really was the sheriff, but the sheriff ran it or the coroner, you know, because the coroner is also an officer of the court.
Okay.
So either one of those two can run it, but they don't get to make any decision. Again, you know, the magistrate is just the one who is a traffic cop, so to speak. He just makes sure things continue on in process and continues to go forward. But
they're not
acting
in that capacity.
Right.
Yes.
The tribunal is the jury. Okay.
Right.
That's the key
okay.
to the whole thing. And remember, there's the king to the court. We decided to have a king.
Right.
In the United States, and that king is King God. We sit
right.
on the king. Bench. So we, the people, sit on the
mm-hmm.
king's bench. We're supposed to go in there with honor, justice, and mercy, the principles of law, and
mm-hmm.
and execute and exercise the God's word in truth and as far as law is concerned. But the facts are the facts, and that's what really drives a case. People don't need to understand law. They know when someone's been injured. They know when someone's been wrong done. They know how to
mm-hmm.
fix them. They know what needs to be done to restore them because they're their neighbors. They've been there. They know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they say that people can't know what to do because they're too stupid, to some degree that is true. We've been dumbed down. But, goodness, we're far more capable of taking care of this problem in the court than any judge or any lawyer is because they're not only stupid, they also have been brainwashed into some insanity
yeah.
of things like statutes.
Yes, that's very true. And the thing is, the judge is totally mischaracterizing what I've done, and so obviously I have to counter that in this writ of error and say, you know, he's apparently not comprehending the basic issue here, make it a little more clear, and then obviously go through with the demand for the jury. So that would be my coming up step here after I put in the discoveries, which essentially gets the respondents their admissions in there of their guilt and a lack of due process and not doing the right thing. So it's
right.
it's
well,
definitely
bear
an
education. Bear in mind, just whatever that judge wrote, you have to deal with every single word, every single phrase, you know, the conclusions of each point has got you got to deal with. And you got to overturn it all. And your words in court is I object, and you don't need to go any further than that. And then when you go home, then you write your paper, you overturn it, and you do a writ of error. But the only way you're going to get that power and authority of doing that writ of error, ultimately, is to make a federal case out of it. You have to sue
well,
him.
Well, I already
to get
have.
Him
okay,
yeah,
so you're
in the federal
saying
court.
That...
In the federal court, okay. sue him for due process violation. But not just him. Make it a conspiracy. Get all the lawyers, too. Sue them all.
You know, I wanted to bring up a point, John, that Lydia made. Lydia has discovered that the writ of prohibition is very much more powerful than making motions in their court because the writ of prohibition puts the burden of proof on that judge. She has to show her, him or her, has to show his jurisdiction. And she has filed that on the judge down there in Manhattan. And it pulled him right off the case because she has to proclaim it in open court. And it has to be done in a fashion, you know what I mean? And if you want to waive your rights to a grand jury, it's supposed to be done in an open court. And it has to be done, they do it all the time without the proper process. And so she's plugged in this process. And, of course, these people will not go into
it. Wait, whoa. To give up your right to the grand jury?
Yeah, if you give up.
No, I don't think that's possible. I don't think.
Well, they have a statute. In other words, you could do a bench trial. You could plead.
Well, no. Criminal court requires two things. It requires, number one, an indictment in order for the crime to be established as a crime. The people have to say, yeah, that's a crime. We want to indict. That's number one. And they're not supposed to go ask the person. They're supposed to go ask the grand jury.
The indictment is done there.
The second requirement is a trial by jury. Untainted jury. Those are the two requirements.
What they do is they do a prosecutor's information. Now, he's not allowed to do an information unless with the permission of the judge in open court and your attorney. You know, you're supposed to have an attorney there, according to them. But
a prosecutor's information is irrelevant.
Well, this is how they're operating. In their world, they're not even following their statutes, is what I'm telling you. They don't even do what they're supposed to do, what they claim they're supposed to do, in order for that prosecutor's information to go forward. It's supposed to be done in open court and with the permission of the judge and your representation is supposed to be there. They never do that. They send people to jail, just like this one lady. They picked her up off the side of the road, and she ends up in jail, and she has, never mind common law, she doesn't even get their statutory process that they claim that they're supposed to follow. But anyway, the point I was going to bring up is she filed a writ of prohibition on this judge rather than making a motion to have the case, you know, move to somebody. And a motion is, like you said, you're begging the court. Well, apparently the writ of prohibition goes up to the higher court, and that judge has to talk to the higher judge. And Lydia believes that that judge doesn't even want to take a chance with the higher judge. That judge
I'd have to see how she wrote the paper to comment.
Well, this is something that she just did, and the judge ended up recusing herself because she did not want to have to testify in front of that higher court judge. So it's just something that you should know. It's another tool. You know what I mean? I guess Lydia's working through their statutory system. You know what I mean? And she's having some good success because they're so dumbed down, they don't even follow their own system. She knows it better than they do in a lot of cases, you know?
Right.
But anyway, I just wanted to let that out because she did send it. I think if you look at it.
By the way, we got 6 minutes left, so.
Yeah. So anyway, all interesting
stuff.
Thank
you.
Okay. I'm gonna give one more person a chance here. Thank you very much. That was very interesting. Okay, I don't know who the next caller is. It says anonymous. I just unmuted them. Hello, anonymous. Can you hear me?
Hey. Anonymous is Shaking Wake Radio.
Oh, no. You don't know. Anybody that comes in that didn't put their number up, it comes up anonymous. Speak the truth. They come up as you. So I always blame you for everything.
Yeah, it's his fault.
That was my fault.
It's all your fault. Go ahead, Rick.
All I want to say is God bless everybody who's seeking the truth, sharing the truth, passing on nationallibertyalliance.org and shakeandwakeradio.com. And we play a lot of stuff of Eustace Mullins and Carl Miller. And, I mean, if you really want to get into what John and these people are about, that is a great start. I mean, we play Carl Miller on the network all the time, and every time I hear him, I'm picking up a new thing or something, and it's becoming repetitive in the mind, and the more you listen to Carl Miller or Eustace Mullins, it's as simple as saying, is this a court of equity, Your Honor?
What's his name? Rod Glass used this Mullen a lot. And that
And I don't want to take up too much, you know, more time. If you want to bring in another caller or two, I just wanted to say, Kyle Miller, Eustace Mullins. Do a search on YouTube or stop by shakeandwakeradio.com. And, you know, when you hear Kyle Miller talking, it's like poetry in motion. It's music.
Yeah, I was listening to him the other night you had him on. You had some stuff I hadn't heard before. I thought I heard all his stuff, but I guess I didn't. It was pretty good.
Yeah, Kyle Miller and Eustace Mullins, in my opinion, they paved the way for National Liberty Alliance, really. God bless you guys. I love you. I'll die with you guys for freedom.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Thank you. God bless you.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oregon Ronald, go ahead.
3 minutes left.
Ronald from Oregon. What can you do in 3 minutes? Go ahead.
Well, heck. from the heart, man. Assurance. Just read Mark 13. 13, 14.
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah, it's not given as advice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice you're all alive out there, doing well. Keeping up with the message. I just happened to get in late here this evening. Grateful I could do that. I just happened to be looking for that writ of prohibition. There's so many different writs. Got to get to that page with the P's. Just happened to stumble across this writ of error here. But, you know, on a humbler, even compassionate note, but yet, firm as commanding as any and all of this stuff is, in my opinion. You've saved yourself with me a couple of times tonight, but I'm still learning and growing. I'm grateful for that, and it's good that I get irritated with what I hear, because that means, one, I'm paying attention. Two, I probably don't understand it, and that's just my perception. And so. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that. And look at, you know, we're learning too. You never stop learning. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't learn something. And, you know, the best and the worst days are the days when you found out something you thought was so, well, isn't so. That's the best and the worst day, when the rug gets pulled out from under you and you have to change direction a little bit. But, you know, I don't see, you know, we're on a pretty good path right now. We've had probably most of the major rugs, we're like floating in the air. We got nothing underneath us. They keep pulling out things what we thought. You know, Mark Twain said, it ain't what you don't know that hurts you. It's what you think you know that ain't so is what gets you. And that's a pretty good saying.
And here's a comment from that I like to share. It goes like this. It's slavery is the legal fiction that person is property. Corporate personhood is the legal fiction that property is person. And
there you go.
When you understand that, that's it in a nutshell. And now, because this is so close and dear to my heart, exercising my right to travel, common sense, Patrick Henry. If not for the humility, for the love, the patience, the peace, and serious, serious fortitude, perseverance, when I am accosted in my private vehicle as I'm going down the road, I have learned the safest bet for me always in all situations that I've incurred over the last 15 years. And then the experience before that was I would do the opposite of what I'm going to say. And that is, always try to find a safe place to pull the car over to, a private parking lot, anywhere on the street where it would be in the
30 seconds
in the way whatsoever. Out, and I lock the car, and I walk a safe distance from it, and generally to the front, either corner, either side of the car. And from there, I begin to ask for his jurisdiction or his business card. And the first words that he says is, "You're driving." I immediately scold him on that note. I'm 55 years of age. I was raised and educated through the public indoctrination process, written about in a book called Coming of Age in America. So I had to have the first half of my life tortured behind the one basic issue in my life: to exercise the dictates of my conscience by and through traveling so that I might pursue some liberty, so I could have some happiness. Because without the land for me and to have my family, there was no happiness. So once the first thing they did was they made me believe that my right to travel was a privilege, and then they screwed with the privilege to a maddening, sick science through the insurance industry, and made us all felony driving law revokers, making that a Class C felony, eligible for 5 years in one of their state dungeons.
And that's only one of the evil things that they have done to us, to charge us and to make money and to imprison us and just destroy our lives and get rich at it. So, but with that, we've come to the end of our program. We're a couple of minutes over already. So
I just wanted to say, lots of good people that people can learn from about how to exercise their right to travel when that's what they're left with. As I have been, that's all I've been left with. I've had no choice. Exercise my right to life best I can, or die trying. And by the grace of the great power out here, you know, I'm still alive. I'm able to share. I'm able to live one foot before the other, after the other, one day at a time.
And on that word, thank you. We're going to end the program. God bless you. All right, we'll be back next Monday, Lord willing. And of course, there's a lot of activities going on. Keep an eye on email. Get involved. Get out to the website. Find a committee or a group that you can get involved with, and let's save America. Good night, everybody. Thanks for calling in.